Everybody, it's the Thursday show. Trudy's on vacation this week, but Brand, Don, Mark, and I are holding down the fort, and we'll have our special guest, Mike Stone. Stoney.
Yeah, what a tough week for him, man.
Yeah, was he on today, too?
Yeah, I believe he was on today.
Wow, I heard him... I think it was Tuesday, and I was like, wow, he's hanging in there. That's tough. But, you know, it's for me, it was the best thing to get right back in the chair when Mike died. Actually, we did a show that day, which was weird and kind of fun at the same time, going through all the old stuff.
Yeah.
But it does hit home at some point. Anyway, yeah, he's all good to go on Facebook Live.
Oh, yes. Okay, great.
So much to talk about. And maybe we'll kick some stuff sports-wise around with Stoney, too. Because the Big Ten announced their schedule today. People are all up in arms.
Everyone's always up in arms.
I know. People love being up in arms,
I know,
they?
Especially about sports. It's kind of adorable.
Kelly Stafford's all up in arms.
Yes, still.
I watched it on Good Morning America, and I'm like...
That made Good Morning America?
Yes. A long piece on Good Morning America. I'm really having trouble understanding how Kelly Stafford's kids were bullied.
They weren't.
I mean, it made it sound like the kids were just on their own doing their own thing. They're three, but they're independent as hell. They go to the park. Somebody bullies the crap out of them. They come home crying.
They weren't bullied.
Well, if they were bullied, wouldn't Kelly be
how
there?
How old is this kid?
Wouldn't Kelly be there? I mean, I would never bully her kids in front of her.
No.
And, I mean, if I was going to bully Kelly Stafford's kids. I wouldn't do it when she was there.
Some people said, and I did see this, that, didn't the nanny take care of it?
I don't know. I mean, she said school told them to get the fuck out of here. And she was approached at a grocery store and told she was endangering others. Kids were harassed and kicked off a playground.
I hate you!
So it sounds like the kids are independent. They're just...
despise you.
It sounds like the kids are doing their own thing during the pandemic, and unfortunately, this is a time at which they were potentially bullied and were.
Did she stay at the playground since her kids were kicked out? Did she stay and play, go down a few slides?
No, I think they were just on their own.
Oh, okay. They just went to the playground?
Yeah.
They're at that age.
You know, I got to tell you, I know Kelly's been through a lot. I don't want to make fun of Kelly Stafford, but...
It doesn't help her, though, when she posts something like that. She seems like, honestly, she seems pretty sweet from things I've heard. She did go through that medical thing, but why are you on Instagram? Why are you mad at the NFL, too?
Kelly's very outspoken, and I appreciate that about her. I really do, but I think she might have missed the boat here, because if you want to play in the NFL for $30 million during a pandemic that requires people to be 6 feet apart to be safe, there are going to be bumps. She's angry that they list him as having coronavirus and put her through, and the kids being bullied, kicked off the playground.
Well, he was on the coronavirus list.
This is Kelly.
And she seems to be peeved because they were tested and retested and retested and retested, and they had to all have tests. Well, that's because he's playing tackle football.
Yeah.
And they, a lot of money.
And she was so angry.
And the NFL has the money to test and test and test
It's a little bump in the road. I mean, if you don't want to go through any of that, then don't play football for $30 million.
Did Kenny Galladay married, and did his wife say anything? Or
his kids are probably being bullied as we speak.
Because he was taken off the COVID-19 IR list today. I assume he had a false positive as well. Don't you think so, Brandon?
I'm not sure. How long was he on there for?
A day longer, I think, than Stafford.
Well, Mrs. Galladay obviously is going to be posting something pretty soon.
Well, that's the thing. She's the only one.
I swear, this is going to sound really harsh, but I think... If it was 1985, Matt Stafford's the same great player he is, beloved and all that, and he had AIDS, and he weighed 56 pounds, I think people would be begging him for his autograph. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm just
magic.
Saying, he's a quarterback on the NFL. People love him. I'm just really having a hard time. And
they might love him, but are they going to love his family, his AIDS-riddled family?
Oh, he's got gorgeous kids and a gorgeous wife.
I know what you're saying.
People are nuts right now, though. I mean,
people were freaked out about AIDS, too.
They were. People could, It is, you know, in today's crazy times, it is possible that somebody, you know, threw crap at their kids on the playground and somebody was rude to her. But it just seems like it's such an all-encompassing takeout. You know, the NFL, and these mean people. And I think actually she's blaming the NFL.
Yeah, because of their testing procedures. That could have been a little clearer. You could have stayed on. But that's, you could have stayed on message.
Yes, you're right. They were being safe. They're doing what they're supposed to do to be safe. Not that they can be safe. There's no way to be safe. But they're doing what they say they're supposed to do.
I really feel like the NFL will play come hell or high water now, no matter what.
I do, too. I'm starting to think college is going to play.
I don't know if college will.
There's three really good players who've opted out now. Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Penn State's linebacker today backed out. He's a great player.
Yep, and one really bad team opted out today. The UConn Huskies, who were, I think they had two wins last year, so we're not going to bother. They'll actually probably save money by not playing the season. I'm not joking.
They might
save money.
Well, they're independent now, too. They're out of a conference.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And who's the third one? Oh, the wideout from Minnesota.
Yeah.
What's his name?
I can't remember his name.
Rashad something. He had 1,200 yards receiving last year, averaged 20 yards a catch. And he is like the Penn State guy. He's going to be a junior. So he's like, I'm just going to work out and be in the draft. I don't need to go through this.
I understand.
Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, there you go.
And then this crazy story. This, to me, says everything about 2020. Washington's wide receiver, Cassidy Woods.
Yeah.
He's opted out along with a cornerback for Washington. And I don't think either one of them are tremendous players. But he was told that you're not going to really practice with the team. You said he was told to clean out his locker. No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, basically, you know, I think the coach asked him right away, are you part of the, what's the group called?
The Pac-12
Unity Group.
Students or players, yeah, union sort of.
Great name.
Mini union. Fake
clean
union.
Out your desk. You're gone.
And so as soon as he asked me, he's like, well, you know, you should clean out your locker. You're still on scholarship, but don't be part of the team, which, kind of a shitty response, but at the same time, if he's that worried about getting sick, you don't want to be around that group of players anyway.
No, you wouldn't practice. Why would you not play in games and practice? Anyway, he recorded a phone call of the coach, mm-hmm. him and the coach, and released it. So these people who take on their coaches. You know, yesterday it was a guy who said his coach said the N-word. He didn't explain the context at all. He's telling on his coach on Twitter.
Yeah,
there's the guy who told on Gundy for wearing a shirt of a network that's
he's a good
too
player,
conservative.
So,
yeah. So it's a great way to get response. I don't know that that's going to be a winning formula. I don't know that. I mean, everybody, what is it about everybody has to be in everybody else's business?
Yeah.
And everybody has to have everyone know their business. Because I think all these problems, with the help of some teammates or a captain, could have been ironed out quietly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just embarrassing as hell. And these A-list people saying, Ellen was so nice to me and my family, and I don't understand all this.
You're an A-list person.
What are you doing? Man. You're a guest. Of course she's nice to you. What's she going to spit on your family?
You were talking about what if coaches record their calls with players? I don't know how that would work for their advantage.
It doesn't work for anyone's advantage. But that's the point. My point was it's kind of like a coach calling a kid who got really bombed and got arrested for drunk driving and assaulting a chick or something and going, so what happened? Well, I don't know. I mean, I was all over. I thought she wanted it. And then the coach releases the phone call.
Except the coach would agree with him and not want it to be a court. Because remember the time the player, was it Baylor with the guy that killed the other player?
Oh.
I mean, a lot of that was recorded.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for players to.
If a coach maybe wants to get rid of a guy. So he records a phone call and he says, yeah, I had like 10 shots and I grabbed this girl's boob, and but it was nothing really. And then he goes, oh, listen to this phone call. This guy's so irresponsible.
Or what if they start recording recruits? That could be pretty bad.
Join my team. Don't make me beg here. I will do it. I will suck your dick. I will suck your fucking dick. I will do it. Just join my team. I'll suck your dick. You can fuck me or get
that's
fucked
quite
by
the recruiting
me.
Pitch.
Watch me fuck something.
Is that Saban?
It might be. That's why he gets all those players.
Come on, just tell me what
that's
you
why
want
his skin
me to fuck.
That's
just
why his skin looks so
what
good, too.
Tell me to fuck.
All right. Mike Stone is coming up.
I'm glad we got that in before Stoney
yeah.
zoomed in.
on Facebook Live. And
it's already late, by the way.
Oh, we said 5:15.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I did. I sent it back. Right. There's one more thing I wanted to say about. Oh, what if, like, the Clemson coach recorded Alabama signs this linebacker and goes, yeah, I talked to this guy myself. You think this guy's got an 800 SAT? And he plays a call of a guy who can't, you know, get his tenses right. Or, I mean, that, you could conceivably do that. Why not?
That's got to be great.
I don't think this guy is ready for college.
It really shows how behind the laws can be with technology, because it's just so easy to record a phone call now. And it used to be, you know, you have to at least be a one party. One party has to know they're being recorded. Well, now, shouldn't it be everybody on the phone call needs to know they're being recorded, because it's so easy to do?
Well, I have mixed feelings about that sometimes.
Oh, okay. Well, it would hurt us.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. Honestly, there's so many things regarding the internet that are not, there's nothing to adjudicate on that should be. But let me mention that Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Just helped out someone the other day over what would seem like a minor thing. In fact, I thought, well, gee, would this really be their butt? But they helped out. I think they had to.
Can you say what it is? Or?
Well, it's a little too complicated. Yeah, it's water. It's like gross. Inside the walls, one of those things.
Oh, fun.
And they pointed them in the right direction.
Water!
It wasn't exactly their thing, but they were very helpful, and I heard all about it. Anyway, water can be anywhere in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge.
Water!
Under the dishwasher. I hate that guy. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy. And Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. Call 877-JOB-DONE. Visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. I think it's an emergency. You should call them. Storm damage, fire damage. If you think there's COVID, if some COVID freak has been touching everything in your house, or it's your business, or your service vehicles, they do also do disinfect. 877-JOB-DONE.com.
It's a need.
And things are wild at Zot Ford and Ollie. We're talking the all-new Bronco. Time to reserve your new Ford Bronco with our friends at Zot Ford. Go to ZotFord.com, follow the link to order your new Bronco Sport or full-size two-door or four-door. Yes, the hype is huge. Plus the Ford Promise, which is in effect, I did find out, for Jim Hackett.
Yeah, Hackett, good, good.
Blown out yesterday.
I can't believe they didn't even give him a company car to take away from him.
Maybe he bought a car at Zot and he's returning it. I'm not sure exactly. I think we're looking into it.
Fire!
If he did buy a new vehicle from Zot in the last few weeks, a new or pre-loved, maybe a used car, then the Ford Promise is in effect for Jim Hackett. Is they can cancel the deal in his first year of ownership, and Ford will take the vehicle back, period. No penalty.
Period.
The lease trifecta is back. Lease a new 2020 Ford EcoSport or a new 2020 Ford Escape all-wheel drive or a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4. Your choice of the three. Each one as low as $166 a month. Yes, Zot Ford's trifecta gives you a choice of three brand new Fords for just $166 a month. Surf deals in the D.com and all the incredible.
I want to get in that thing and just drive it right away. Do you mind?
Do we have is Ford or Hall Financial, are they a sponsor for our Zoom calls?
Sure they can be. Oh, my gosh. Exciting, exciting news.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Ricky Henderson's phone number has been located.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I called it earlier. And I mean, Brandon, 100%, right? There's no doubt it's Ricky.
It's not in question.
Did he answer the phone?
He did not answer the phone, but the message is 100% Ricky.
He answers the phone. Hellos? I don't know if that's true or not. Some people said that.
This is Ricky Henderson's. Can't get to the telephones right now.
I love him so much.
He's the best, man. He's so awesome. He's such a good dude. I mean, he has a little problem with tenses.
He does.
But he's a great guy, so we got to try that maybe after Stoney.
I would like to listen to that Hall of Fame speech and find out if he even gets 50% of the tenses right. Because you should, by rights, get 50% right. If you know nothing about tenses, if you knew absolutely nothing, chances are you get half of them right, right?
It's just amazing the ones he gets wrong.
What do you say, San Diego? He said San Diego Padre was a plural.
Yeah, Padre. Like, how can you not get Padre, the plural of that, correct?
I guess Mom do knows best.
That's a pretty good one. Hard to beat that.
But I totally get what he's saying. I think it's communicated very effectively in its own strange way.
Yeah.
Anyway, when Mike...
I also want to thank the member of the Hall of Fame.
I want to thank you for calling.
Did someone teach him backwards? Someone teach him plural and singular wrong, completely wrong?
I don't know.
He could be a guy that learns incredibly well, but someone taught him exactly the reverse.
And he can't change now.
No. Hall Financial sponsors the Hall Financial Hotline and the Hall Financial Zoom line now, as they're always up with the latest in technology. I just decided that. Many people are refinancing now, saving so much money, and people love Hall Financial so much they actually express guilt over bringing the average down in terms of the days it takes to do a refi. 19 is their average. We've had some real slackers, and Hall's been nice not to come down on them. They're still happy to get the business. Remember, too, you could maybe skip a couple payments when you refi. You could lower your payment. You could lower your term and maybe even keep close to the same payment. Many have done this. So call Hall Financial, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike. You can go to our website, too, and click the link. NMLS number 14674.
Our friend Ashley 35. On Facebook Live. You know Ashley, who just graduated.
Ashley,
So
that's right.
She talked to Chris from Hall Financial, and she's buying a house in Michigan.
She is?
That's what she said.
Is she moving here?
I don't know. I don't want to dox her. That's the only information she added.
Wow. Okay. Well, no reason to dox her. Well, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Chris at Hall Financial?
I'm back!
Maybe I'll mention that. I'm on the sales call tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Just to talk about the great success story.
That's good, eh? Oh. Whatever it takes, man.
They just had their biggest month.
You love sales calls. So.
I do. I've always been a fan of that sort of thing.
Should we try Ricky now? I mean, I don't think he's going to answer. Is he going to answer?
Why don't we wait till we do Stoney? Because Stoney's just a few minutes away.
Okay.
He should be plugging in here. You know, is there any more information on the Beirut blast?
Yeah, deaths are up to 100, which I still think would be
low. There's no way it's 100.
300,000 people have lost their housing.
Oh, my God. And they're in the middle of a terrible economic recession. Terrible!
The giant grain elevator that blew up stores 85% of the grain for the whole country, including their strategic backup.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no, it's a
mess. I also saw that they believe it was a welder fire.
Okay, wait.
Some dope. Wouldn't you like to see the look on his face today, Brandon, if it wasn't in 15 different locations?
Well.
The welder. I was just thinking about that. If a welder can do that, I mean, create that kind of explosion, there should be massive security stopping every welder within 100 miles from getting anywhere near that ammonium nitrate.
Well,
I mean, isn't that ridiculous?
It's really not his fault. It's, you know, it's the people that stored all that stuff next to him. Oh, thanks for pointing out that the welder's dead. I figured the welder's dead.
I'm just picturing, if somebody did survive, going, yeah, I saw the welder. He was right near the pool of ammonium nitrate, and he had the soldering gun. It was on full blast. He just kind of dropped it in there by accident, and next thing you know,
that's not how welding works.
Oops.
I'm sure that
he could have a soldering gun, couldn't he, if he's a welder? Wouldn't he have one for little stuff?
Yeah, close enough. Brian said it was his first day. Sorry.
Could a welder be doing, though, that would how close is he to the ammonium nitrate and why?
Maybe he was telling a story and he was gesticulating wildly with the torch in his hand.
And he was too close to the ammonium nitrate pool?
I guess.
Yeah. You know the story? I don't know the story.
When reached for comment today, he said,
oops.
Did you see the bride that was running from her little photo shoot?
Yeah, we watched that yesterday. Actually, we watched that before the show, didn't we, Mark?
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And you guys probably watched the priest running for cover.
Yeah.
It was coming down.
When I saw that one, that made me think that, do I not realize that people just run and take cover? Like, that's a natural reaction? Because I feel like I'd be standing there going, hey, what happened?
I know. I'm not sure running is the best idea, but
You just want to get away from where you're at.
But didn't that priest have good wheels?
He did.
I mean, he really booked out of there. And I always think a priest is like the last guy picked for, sports, this kid.
Why?
Is that fair?
No, that's not fair.
I don't know. I mean, how many priests you look at and go, gotta get that. Bet that guy's a great athlete.
Eh, well, maybe back in their day.
Yeah, I guess.
When Reach for Comedy said,
oh, God, I'm running. Oh, yeah. He had good wheels.
Good wheels.
Do we know if he's okay?
I don't know. I don't know.
Wow. Did you guys see any new angles today? I mean, I was obsessed with watching.
Oh, there's another comment from the welder. I don't know. This is crazy.
Sorry, sad face.
Sorry for blowing up all of Beirut.
Good God.
Wasn't it a welder that caused the fire for Notre Dame?
Oh, was it construction? Was it a welder?
I thought it was a welder because at first they thought it was a cigarette. Like they were smoking up there, but now they think it was a welder.
Well, I'm flashing.
When he was reached for comment, he said, oops.
A welder. I mean, it's like, wow, you know, we got to get a welder, but he's really close to the ammonium nitrate, so we got to be careful. What kind of a half-ass welder they get who's right near the ammonium nitrate?
Maybe he was the least, the one they liked the least, so they put him closer to it because they didn't like him and they wanted him to blow up. They didn't realize it would blow up all of Beirut.
I mean, did no one have any idea that there was any risk of this welder being too close to all this 2,700 tons of ammonium nitrate?
Brandon, didn't they say it was illegally stored or it wasn't properly stored?
Oops. Brandon's jamming this song.
I'm sorry. From what I saw, it was just a welder. That's all I saw. But I don't understand how it was stored. Was it stored in a boat or was it stored? Did they move it off the boat?
Breaking news.
Uh-oh, what?
Stoney doesn't have a link.
What? I emailed it to him. At the email you gave me. Did you not give me the right email?
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thanks for giving out his email.
Sorry.
Brandon, can you bleep that for the podcast? Yeah.
I have his email number if you want me to give it to you.
Unless it wasn't an S, it was a 5. I don't know. Someone wants to know if the welder had proper PPE on.
He doesn't have it.
Maybe that's what saved his life.
You did not email it, so.
What?
Yeah, he didn't. He says he doesn't have it.
I have his email number if you want me to give it to you.
It's in my sent folder. I'll just
Well, then resend it.
You've got mail.
Okay.
Are you sure it's... Oh, wait, let me see the address again. It went to somebody.
We may not know what's in those deleted emails.
Oh, I know why.
So somebody should be on our... Some rando guy's going to come up on our Zoom?
It's my fault. Yeah, whoever has Stone instead of Stony.
Oh. Okay. Well, while we're waiting for Stony, hey, everybody. Here's one sign of normalcy amid all the ugliness. Our friends at the Yellow Eye Center are back in action. Yes, you can get custom LASIK, like the girl who was legally blind without her contacts. She's now seeing 20/20 and not fussing around with contacts anymore. People 45 plus, multifocal lens implants, taking care of a lot of problems at once. Staff is 100% healthy, and they're taking all the safety measures they need to take. It's pristine.
Hey, there he is.
they say it's pristinely safe over there. And by the way, it was a $1,500 off Drew and Mike discount at the Yaldo Eye Center. So be done with the hassle. Support those who have stood by us, like our friends at the Yaldo Eye Center. Pain, Dave said, getting my teeth cleaned hurt more. Michelle said she saved on costs, hassle, and all that time putting those stupid contacts in. It's been life-changing. So call 1-800-398-EYES or go to theyaldoeyecenter.com and tell them Drew and Mike sent you. And Stoney's in the house.
What up, boys?
How are you?
Hey, Stoney.
How are you?
Okay, man. How has this week been? I know you've been working, which I was just saying earlier, I worked when Mike died the next couple of days, and it was actually good to be at work, honestly.
Yeah, it actually was. By the way, for the background, do you need my TV off?
That's kind of cool.
It's very charming, yeah.
I like that.
And if we get bored of talking to you, we'll just watch what's on the game.
All right, hold on. Let me make it better.
It's a nice little setup.
Office looks pretty.
That's why I'm a radio guy.
Your office doesn't look as disorganized as it should be.
No, I know. Well, that's because I just do this and watch TV. That's about it.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Hey, by the way, you had hockey going on in the background there.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading how pedestrian the hockey ratings are since they came back, and then the NBA ratings, they were monster the first night, and then since then they said they've been kind of heh.
And yeah, you know what I think it is? Well, especially here, I mean, we have no teams in it.
Yeah.
I think it's just when the weather's nice, people would rather be outside doing stuff. If you don't have a team involved, I mean, as good as the NBA has been and as good as some of these hockey games have been, it's August. How bizarre is watching Stanley Arizona play Nashville August 5th? Yeah. Whatever. It's nuts.
Well, yeah. Do those ratings include, like, all the games? Because, I mean, there's games all day long. Or is it just
it's awesome.
Or is it is kind of cool.
I don't know how they do all the ratings.
Stunning. Are you watching like, games all day?
NBA, when the real playoffs start, the ratings will be really good.
Yeah.
But other than that, who knows? Hockey is hockey. It never gets good ratings.
So we are interrupting you from watching hockey.
No, it's just background while I put together some kind of ridiculous show tomorrow.
Okay. What's on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow on the show, well, my co-host tomorrow will be a former Michigan football player in Washington. Well, can I say? Well, he played for the Redskins, even though they're not the Redskins anymore, John Jansen.
Oh okay. Great.
Great radio guy.
Good guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll talk a lot about the Big Ten schedule coming out. It seems like Harbaugh and Ryan Day allegedly got into a little argument on a conference call. We'll
see. Oh, really?
Really? Yeah. Wow. Any details?
No, just about practicing or something. I don't know. It's just a little tidbit I think I saw.
What's interesting about the new schedule, you know, everyone's pointing out that Michigan and Ohio State are playing in October or the week before Halloween. And I didn't even realize it because who cares about the other teams in the Big Ten? I didn't look at their schedule. But all the rivalry games are well before November because they want to get those games in before, you know, before the season's canceled or postponed. So you might.
Yeah, except Indiana Purdue. You're right. They all are. Maybe that's because it makes no sense. Well, if you're going to do it, just do it the way you normally do it.
Yeah, but there were.
Michigan State fans are kind of upset. Say, well, we have to play in Michigan 2 years in a row, and then we're supposed to play them next year. On the road as well, but I think I read somewhere that's been flipped, so at least they'll be at East Lansing next year.
Yeah, didn't Michigan play them 2 years in a row on the road when the
When they redid the divisions?
And I'm sure we all whined then too, like that's whining. Probably. Yeah. That's the way college goes.
So, what about playing college football? Doesn't it seem almost like because baseball seems like such a just rinky dink is the only term I know to use for it. You know, this team's not playing for a while. This team's not, they got some positive tests. It just seems crazy to me. And when you're talking about amateur athletes, I'm just kind of blown away that they're even going to do this. I mean, I'm going to watch. I'm not saying I won't watch. Of course I'll watch, but it just seems odd.
I think they're going to try. I don't think they're going to be able to get through it. There's too much, especially once the kids get on campus. You can't, even though a lot of these schools have, you know, athletic dorms. They're college kids. They're not going to be in a bubble like the NBA guys are. And it's kind of interesting. The NBA and the NHL are the ones who've had like everything perfect so far because they're in bubbles.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, and how are they going to justify if, you know, students get it and they have to close down students? They're not going to keep the athletes there. There's just no way they can do that.
I know.
Well, Michigan State is telling people not to come to campus. How can you tell a football team that you should come to campus and play football, but you guys shouldn't come to school because it's too dangerous?
I know. I have twin daughters, so one's in Michigan, one's in Michigan State, and they have apartments. So they're going to, even though most of their classes are going to be online, they don't want to be home with mom and dad, thankfully. So they'll just we can't get out of anyway. So
Can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. I was going to say I would think mom and dad would say, "Well, I'm not paying for an apartment, taking classes on."
Apartments are—it's not like if it was dorms, we could probably get out of it.
Maybe mom and dad don't want them at home either, though. Too. Don't forget
good
about
point.
That.
I don't believe that.
Well, depends on the mom and dad.
Stoney, how far ahead did you have to reserve the apartment for the year?
Well, the one in Michigan State, after she transferred from Georgia, she had a single there last year, and then she got roommates for this year, so that was okay. And the one from Michigan, she was living in a sorority house last year, and I think it was almost, you know, 7-8 months. I mean, it's ridiculous how early you have to figure out housing for the following year. Like, when you're a freshman, you're in your dorm, you're just trying to get acclimated to college, and you have to make a decision, like, in October where you're going to live your sophomore year, and you don't even know if you like the school yet.
It's kind of like how you have to pay a seat license a week after the season ends.
I know.
I know.
The season just ended.
They haven't sent me my money back, by the way. Have you gotten your seat license money back?
I converted it to a donation.
Oh, did you?
No, I did not convert it to a donation. No. I'm going to kick the can down the road until next year.
Okay.
Let it count for next year.
So Stoney, Mark told me, I think it was last week before Jamie died, that he had heard him on the show Monday, you know, and it was like, wait, he's got colon cancer for all this time, and nobody knew, which was amazing. And then you said he sounded a little shaky, and he died, and I hadn't listened to it yet, and I was like, I don't think I can listen to that. That just sounds so rough. I mean, this had to be really tough going through all this time and things apparently not really looking up.
Well, it's weird because he told a few of us when he was diagnosed in January of 2019. That he had it, and it was stage 4 when he got it.
How does that happen?
But you would never know because he acted normal. He was healthy. He missed a day or two every once in a while for doctor stuff, but there's a very few people that knew what was going on. And in a weird way, COVID actually helped him because as time progressed this year, he probably didn't have enough strength really to drive in every morning at that hour, as you guys know, is
sure.
absurd to begin with. But he was doing the show from home. And it, as time grew on, I never realized, I almost felt guilty. But, you know, you'd ask him, how's he doing? He, you know, very closed up. And I understand that.
Sure.
Where he had to fight through the strength just to get downstairs and do the show. But like 4th of July, he played like two sets of tennis. He ran a couple miles. He looked healthy. He never, the one great thing about this, he never suffered. You know, you hear about cancer patients,
sure.
especially those who have it more than a year. And they start to decay and it really gets, you know.
Lose a lot of weight. Really,
yeah.
Lose and your hair.
He really didn't until the last 3.5 weeks. He had like an infection and that was it basically. And I was on vacation and I realized when I was up north, because I would, you know, social media and stuff, I'm addicted, that he wasn't on the show for 4 to 5 days. So he texted me and said, I was at Beaumont for a few days, had an infection. And then Wednesday, 2 weeks ago from tomorrow, he called me because he's been going, a lot of times he doesn't answer texts and things, especially lately, you know, the last, you know, few months. He said, hey, I got some stuff in my lungs, has to be drained. You know, he goes, you know, you always talk about your stomach, man, I'm bloated. And so we knew it wasn't good. Then over the weekend, he decided that he was going to come on and reveal publicly what we all, what some of us knew. And that was tough. And a week ago tonight, last Tuesday, myself, Wojo, Dan Miller, and a few of the other guys, there was like six of us, and then we went over to his house, and we're in his bedroom, and we were just talking, joking. We had about 20 minutes, and, you know, he didn't look great. You kind of knew then, but we never thought it was going to be this quick. We thought it would be a few months, something like that.
Oh, boy.
Do you think he had the feeling it was going to be this quick?
Oh, yeah. Well, when we saw him, probably because he said, I love you to everybody.
Yeah.
And if you read Wojo's column about when Wojo snuck in, at the, you know, went back in the house and saw him and his, you know, kids on the bed watching the Tiger game, or discussing why Gardenhire would take Mickey out for a pinch runner. Mm-hmm. And Wojo waved and Jamie gave him a wave and that's it. And then that was on Tuesday and then Saturday.
Wow.
At the call, I'm not a very religious person at all. I'm not very spiritual, which anyway.
Oh, we do that.
Weird. And we had a station like golf event for people who work at the station at Oakhurst Country Club. And around 6:45, Dan Leach was doing the award winners. And he started and I said, before you start, everybody raise a glass to Jamie, you know, hope he's going to fight through this, go get colonoscopies, whatever. So that was around 6:40, 6:50, 6:40, whatever. I got a call from Wojo telling me what happened. And then we figured out later that as I was giving the toast, it was probably the exact same time. God.
Wow.
Bizarre.
Oh, my God.
We're pretty close to it.
Amazing. And you know, 46 years old. I didn't even think about getting a colonoscopy at 46. Didn't even cross my mind. In fact, I think when I was in my early 50s, it was like, you know, you really ought to get a colonoscopy pretty soon. And I didn't get one until I was 2 years ago in my 50s. And, you know, everything was all good. And I know my brother and I have talked about this because he's a doctor that, you know, there's certain things that, you know, that's so rare for someone to get it before a certain age that they just don't do it because it would cost too much. But to be stage 4, that's just... I mean, that's just unbelievable. What a terrible deal.
Nowadays, they're telling people, I mean, it used to be 50 was the age. Now they're telling people 45.
Oh, they are saying 45 now.
And if your insurance can cover it, even do it earlier, because there's nothing to lose. Look, let's face it. The prep sucks. You drink this stuff that tastes like shit.
Yeah,
and then you
terrible.
Shit. You know, I'm so glad I can say these words on the podcast. You go upstairs and you sit on the freaking throne for like 3 hours, but that's part. It's just the taste is off. I don't mind the crap. And then you go to the, you know, your wife or whoever takes you to the place. You go in, you sit there. They give you the anesthesia. The doctor starts talking to you. The next thing you know, your wife's in. It's like
it's all over.
The greatest sleep in the world.
Yep.
you know, and I think they give you fentanyl, which was good except everybody except for Michael Jackson. I've had three of them. I've like,
I'm wow, so, you like them that much.
Yeah. 50, 55, and 60. I try to get it every 5 years because you never know. I mean, they'll say I'll see you in 10 years, but I'd rather not take a chance.
Do you know why Jamie got one? Was it routine or was he not feeling well? Or?
He wasn't feeling well. He had something. I had some blood work. They, I guess, had to get a colonoscopy.
You know, it's almost seems like a crazy question. How is Christy holding up and the kids?
She's been the strength. The kids, obviously, it's tough. Sure. I don't think they knew all the severity till, you know, 2 months ago. I mean, obviously, we had it. I don't know when they told them eventually early on. But she's, you know, she ran the show. She's been strong. She's been great. She called me on Sunday just to tell me how much Jamie loved us and all that stuff, which was very, very emotional. She's been great. And
she's a real sweetheart.
You know, I always looked at Jamie and look, you guys work with him, for crying out loud. We always thought he was the smartest guy in the room. I always said that on the air, the smartest person I know, sarcastic, witty. And in our business of sports talk radio, where people are bombastic or goofy, whatever, he wasn't goofy. I'm kind of goofy. You know, there are people who are bombastic. He wasn't like that. He was, you know, almost a voice of reason. And he would, and Doug Carson, he was like true north. He would steer everything right. He would keep me in line. When my ADD would kick her, I would say something freaking stupid. And what I never, Drew, you know, I mean, you saw it with Mike. And Mike was a legend. Jamie, for, you know, a lesser period of time. But the outpouring is incredible.
It is.
And I think that's blown away Christy and the family. I mean, Scott Van Pelt retweeted Wojo's column out and said, I never met the guy, and he seems like the greatest person in the world. He never knew Jamie, and somebody tweeted out Wojo's column, so he read it. I mean, it's been unbelievable, and hopefully, and from what I'm understanding, I have a neighbor who is that type of a doctor, and supposedly we have seen a major uptick in people calling for colonoscopies this week.
That's great.
So that's the most important
thing. You know, it is. It's a huge thing. I don't think it's emphasized enough because it just can take. If your colonoscopy is okay, that's a really good thing. Well, that tells you a lot of good thing. A lot of bad things aren't happening to you.
Well, there's so many jokes about it too. So yeah. I think it really freaks people out, and you know, nobody likes butt stuff.
No.
But you don't know. You don't know what's going on. You're out. It's not. But you're right. The prep is the whole thing. But I wouldn't even tell people about that. Just sign up and do it.
Just
my
do
God.
It, yeah.
So I saw Seth Meyers was a friend of Jamie's.
Yeah, they were in the same fraternity.
Oh, I didn't know they were in the same fraternity. Yeah. Jamie was ahead of him, but he had really warm feelings about Jamie. And
I want to ask you: Did you guys ever get Seth Meyers on the phone? You interview him ever?
Yes, I think I. I mentioned today, I forgot whether it was when Northwestern was playing for the Big Ten championship in football. It was either then or
he wrote
when
about,
they
yeah.
first made the NCAA basketball tournament.
I think it was the tournament.
Yeah.
When I worked, when Jamie was filling in for you, Drew, that year, and he told me, you know, Seth Meyers, I was a senior, he was a freshman. I said, okay, when are we getting him on the show? And he never got him on the show. So I'm like, I don't think you really know him, Jamie. That's what I always gave him shit for it, yeah.
Yeah, we get Dave Revson on a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And Dave was, what, 2 years older than him?
Yeah.
I heard that interview.
But the whole North, I mean, guys who kind of knew Jamie, like Greenberg, Mike Greenberg, ESPN, J.A. and Dondi, who you've seen all over ESPN, was actually the, I think, that professor at the journalism school at Northwestern for the grad schools.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been an incredible. And let me tell you something. The teams – like Jeff Blashill's tweet, I mean, just had Jamie nailed. I mean, the fact Patricia called in on his own the other day. I mean, you know, look, it's tough. As you know, we, you know, kind of fire this guy, whatever. And for them to, you know, go out and call in, Dwayne Casey texted Jamie personally. I mean,
oh, wow.
That's really nice.
Harbaugh actually put a tweet in there. And
the scoreboard at the Tiger game.
Yes, the whole.
That was really nice.
And that, I mean, it's.
That was very cool. I love that. And honestly, when it said 1971 to 2020, that was like, oh, it just, I don't know why that, just seeing that, I really felt it. I didn't know Jamie that well, but I knew him.
Right.
And I thought he was a great guy. But and I listened to Jamie, honestly, from his, was that his first show with Greg Henson?
Yeah, basically.
That
yeah.
was a good I mean, show.
It's his first main show, and that was yeah. a fun show.
I like that show, and I think I've heard him on every show. He's been in a lot of shows.
Stoney, rate Jamie's shows, 1 to 3, go. put you on the spot, have you do it.
Well, actually,
well, you're first.
4, because it was with me.
Jamie and Stoney's number 1.
That would have
to be 4. 4?
One would probably be, I'd say Jamie and Wojo probably yeah. 1, Jamie and Henson 2. Jamie and Brady 3, and me and Jamie
you're not,
4.
You're not giving yourself enough credit, but
yeah, yeah whatever. I mean, well, they, you know, they, you know what the difference is. Radio is a lot different now than it was sure. back then. They could actually do a lot more.
Yeah, no, that's
as you guys know better than anybody.
Yes,
very true.
Yeah, I always thought they were a little tight over there, but you guys have had management changes too, so I don't know where it stands. But the guys that took our place seem to be taking a lot of liberties.
True.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. It's working for him. Now, as far as are you having just people come in to sort of make it interesting? Because, or are you actually sort of semi auditioning people, or what's the way? Where's this going?
We don't know yet. It's just so new. I mean, we have my executive producer Tom Millick in the Gov. He sits in. He's very opinionated, so that's good. Jeff Rieger, who does the show with Wojo, now there's a lot of vacation time this time of the year. So normally, like, he was on for 2 straight weeks when Jamie was actually on vacation and the week I was on vacation. I don't know if he's going to – it's – I don't have that much of – I'm not sure how much of a say I will have. I have no idea.
Oh, come on.
I think in a few weeks we'll try to figure something out. I don't know what we're going to do.
And as far as Wojo, that's out of the question, correct? Because he will not get up in the morning. That's my understanding.
Well, you know, there's always, you know, you, maybe. You know,
I know how Wojo feels, but I'd be happy to talk to 97.1.
Okay, good.
I think we've talked before.
That way I can be the second banana again.
It's a sports show, though. I'll have the same problem I had before.
Yeah, you're going to get up that early?
Yeah, but we're less sports than 105.1, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're more than we were with McAllister, but we're not, you know, especially now we have Heather, we do a lot of weird shit.
Now, how do you like it as far as percentage of sports? Do you like it when it's more sports or less sports?
It depends. I like it when there's sports, when there's issues and there's passion.
Sure.
Like Monday after Michigan blows a game or the Lions blow a game, that's good. I don't want them to lose, but it's
great.
Radio to it a certain is. Extent. Although people have this perception that, you know, you guys want the teams to lose because, you know, you the phones light up. Yeah, but you know what? If you have a team who's on a championship run, they may not call, but more people listen.
There's so a lot to talk about.
To win. But it's like the goofy shit gets more calls, and it's actually the weird, more fun. Like, I don't know, just off the top of my head, this week, even with all the shit going on, Saturday night, me, Dan Miller, Jennifer Hammond, Evan Jenkins, who runs the website. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we all went to Wojo's house to commiserate and drink and whatever, because we were all obviously very upset.
Sure.
And at like 3:15 in the morning, a guy, Will Birchfield, who writes for our sports, you know, website and also does stuff on Fox 2. You've seen him, Birchy Kid.
Yep.
We're walking around the house. Where is he? Nobody knew where he was. We thought he took a car and left. I'm talking about 15, 20 minutes. We're yelling. We don't know. He's passed out in Wojo's backyard on the grass. So we did, off of that, we did, you know, your passed out stories. You know, Miller had a few that he told me on text as high school buddies. I had one where a friend of mine was just, we couldn't find him. So the next day, he was in the bushes at the house. And people called up with unbelievable. I mean, those are the type of stuff that we actually get more reaction to than saying, well, the Tigers lost 3-1 again.
Yeah.
You know, that shit's boring. You can't make up
stuff. Well, I'll tell you my passed out story.
To regular season sports unless it's football or unless something happens.
On my bachelor party, I passed out in the we had a suite at a local hotel. And the toilet room was, like, connected to the bathroom, but it still had its own door. And I just passed out in there. And I remember waking up, and my brother was right there taking a big dump.
Oh, nice.
He's like right at his feet. And he just looks at me and goes, what are you doing? What am I doing? What are you doing?
Well, I thought you were going to sleep through it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. It's my fault for waking up.
Well, Stoney, man, I'm so sorry about all this. I know it just
sucks.
It seems like it's been a really warm week. I mean, so many great stories about Jamie, but it's still.
You've done an amazing job too. The close of Monday's show was tough. I can't imagine how tough that is.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was weird. It was hard. But because we had a lot of phone calls and texts, it made it fly. Mm-hmm. The next 2 days, today and yesterday, were a little harder because we had to actually talk about some real sports, like, Kelly Stafford and things like that.
Oh, God, yeah.
Who else is?
Yeah, it's been hard. And I'm sure just like any grieving process, there'll be times where I'll lose, you know, like last night, for some reason, I just couldn't sleep because I was just thinking of him. Like little things like we do, and I was in the middle of doing, preparing for tomorrow's show, we do a group email. And, you know, you hit Jay, you know, for our programming director, but Jamie's name comes up. It's like, wait a second. How do I get that? I mean, and then how long do you keep, you know, deceased people on your phone?
Forever.
I
keep them on there forever.
Very relatable. Yeah. I know. I there's some people I just can't delete. It just doesn't feel right.
And it was kind of, I mean, I thought it was kind of neat. Mark, you were able to go back years of text conversations and you were able to kind of remember a lot of stuff from there. That was fun kind of watching you do that.
Stoney, one of the things I texted him pretty recently was they separated at birth with you. I don't know if he ever showed you. Did he ever?
It's got to be Wade Fonts or somebody ridiculous.
No, it was someone in the news for being Me Too'd, so it's not terribly flattering.
Oh, okay. I find
it. It, the guy looks okay, though.
Me Arthur? I've gone through, when I was thinner and younger, Tom Hanks from his bosom buddy stage with somebody, Marilyn Turnpike. When I was still in Washington, the lady swore I was Kip from Bosom Buddies, and I had to take out my ID to prove that I wasn't. And then as I got, it was from there to Pete Sampras, and then as I got to put on weight, it became Wayne Fonts and then B. Arthur.
Pete Sampras, you know, that's pretty funny.
Did you had a beard for a while, didn't you? Did you not have a beard? Yeah, so it's when you had a beard and you look like Placido Domingo.
Go put it on the camera.
There was a Placido Domingo picture I sent to him.
Yeah, it's... Let's see here. It's not perfect.
It's not perfect.
He's
it's
a little older, obviously. I don't know how old he is.
There was a resemblance, and then he sent back a picture of you that matched. So
that's not bad.
Yeah. See, there you are.
It could be worse. Anyway, Stoney, I really appreciate you taking
better than Placido Polanco. I guess that was Jamie, the big-headed kid.
Mr. Peanut.
Jamie and Polanco had the same head.
Oh, God.
No, I know it's probably hard to spend a lot of time talking about it, especially in this sort of scenario. But, hey, it's been great. I really appreciate it.
So the big question I have, if there are no fans at the Michigan games, are we still going to have, like, can we go to Riley's and just, like, get drunk and watch the game on television at the Little Big House?
Yeah, I think we'll probably
as long
have
as you ever mask.
Left or masks. But, I suspect some of that will be going on.
Really?
So, okay.
I think how much spittle's in his mask every day? That's what I want to
know. Oh boy. You know, he definitely would need some.
He would
I
be
don't know what we do. We have to put a leash
spreader.
On him
He'd
or something.
He'd be a super spreader if he didn't wear a mask.
We'll give him a little run area. Thanks, Stoney.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
All right, stay
Keep
in
up
touch.
The great work.
Thank you. Bye. You too. We'll see you.
All right.
All right, Stoney, Mike Stone from Stoney and Jamie. Jamie and Stoney, Stoney and Jamie.
Yeah, we got to change the name soon, I guess.
No, I know that's really hard.
We
awful too. Yeah,
we didn't. We didn't.
Except when he has a new person, it'd be a little weird.
Yeah,
I can bring in I can get Jamie Edmonds.
just new. Then that's another Jamie. Yeah.
All right, Stoney.
Thank you.
See
Thanks
you guys.
Again. All right. Oh boy, tough times.
Yeah,
really tough. I thought it was really cool to see Seth Meyers spent time.
Yeah.
Writing something himself, and you know, it wasn't a super long piece, but I thought it was really good.
Jamie Wins, he really did know him.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, it was in the Detroit News, I think, or Free Press. One of the two.
It was definitely one of the two. I never remember which one I was looking at. That's so weird. And I get the writers mixed up too, which drives them crazy.
It was the Detroit News. It was a special that he had wrote, and it's a good piece. We can definitely link it on our website, right to the Detroit News.
But Wojo's piece is remarkable.
Yeah, Wojo's piece is really good.
Forget that goofball can be a really good writer, man.
Yeah, I've always, you know, it's funny. When I first got here, I liked his columns immediately because I just could tell that he's a goof, and he's not afraid to make fun of stuff and
himself.
Himself. So no, I knew I was going to like Wojo early on. I always liked his Big Ten predictions for games. Oh boy. Okay.
I do have a question since we're just talking about the Detroit News and the Free Press. Is it true we're going to get hit with the paywall next week?
Yes.
I know the Detroit News is the Free Press doing it too?
I believe it is. I think they're both. Oh, God, one couldn't do it, not the other, could they?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's going to be.
I'm going to have to buy that one.
I read that, and I forgot who tweeted this. It might have been ML's partner, his Kwame partner, Jim.
Jim Schaefer?
Jim Schaefer. I thought Jim said that, you know, as far as investigative pieces and, you know, the most deep news work they do, that you'll still get that. And so I was like, well, then what would I not get? I mean, that seems like I would really care about.
Editorials, I guess.
But, I wonder about sports, because sports, that's a lot of clicks.
Sports is what drives the paper. Yeah,
so maybe it's some sports stuff you wouldn't get that, you know, I would want to get.
You know, it's interesting, too. I was talking to Sean Windsor on the new episode of ML Soul of Detroit. We talked about his Bo article. The one that got Randy all
fired up.
Yeah, oof, all out of sorts. But he said in there, he said that the stories about Michigan and Dr. Anderson aren't getting clicks.
Interesting. I wouldn't think, if I was a Michigan fan, I wouldn't want to read them.
That's not, but I don't think just necessarily Michigan fans. But it's not, and it's not what's driving their coverage of it by any means. But I just wonder, is it because of COVID it gets buried? Because of protest does it get buried? Are people sick of those kind of stories?
Yeah, probably.
Is it because they're adult athletes and not little boys and little girls?
No, because I'm sick of those stories, too. And I don't mean I'm sick of them, like, shut up. I know just what you mean. It's hard to read that stuff over and over and over. And, you know, by the end of the Me Too thing, when those stories would come out, I'm trying to think of one that was late. The CBS guy.
Oh,
Les Moonves.
Yeah.
Those stories were just, I mean, the details. And it's like, I've heard this story a million times in the last year, and it just was really hard to read. I mean, that's how terrible it is, though. At first, it's like, oh, my God, this really happened. And then, you know, oh, my God, this happened. And then eventually, it just really exhausting. Gets hard to read. I mean, sure. It's just sort of like.
Sort of like protest stories.
Protest stories, COVID-19. Mm-hmm. In fact, today, I'm happy to announce that we were number 97. We hit the top 100 in our iTunes category, which is usually really good. And no, it is really good. And we hit the top 200 in Canada.
All right. Thank you, Canada.
That doesn't happen very often. So that's really good. And I guess I'm going to attribute it to the fact that we are not spending a lot of time on COVID and protests, and I just think that stuff is so wearying. In fact, I remember some of the shows I listened back to, not a ton, but I just felt this slog. Like, this show is just slogging along. It was just like, I just didn't like it. I don't think I like doing it. I don't think I like listening to it. And it's like, the more you get away from it, it just seems like the more fun it is, the more...
For a while, there were no other stories.
No, there weren't much at all. There still isn't the usual stuff. I mean, there's more of it.
Thank God for that welder.
Oh, my God.
Ugh, yikes.
Well, I still cannot believe it's a welder. I still, that just is unbelievable to me.
And boom goes the dynamite.
I know.
Do we have a boner line, Brandon?
No, not today.
We can call Ricky.
We can.
Yeah, Ricky Henderson. Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram DealsNitty.com is all fired up because your community customers and Zot team are excited to be back at full strength and to safely serve all of your automotive needs. They've got the Drive Forward event at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And in fact, the way this works is you can go online, enjoy their enhanced online shopping, and you'll see things like the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn for only $180 a month. If you like Jeeps, the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass, it's just $155 a month. And then always the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee, as low as $247 a month, and the Wrangler. Get the Wrangler at Zot employee pricing for everyone, 0% financing.
Somebody thought it went for like 25 or 30 grand. It actually went for 125 grand.
No, it's cheaper than that.
And is that a new drop?
No, it's an old one.
Oh, that's okay. And $1,500 in rebates if you want a new Jeep Wrangler right now. Speaking of right now, get to DealsNitty.com and check out all the great deals. And before I go on with my next commercial, do you want to go to 737 on GMA? There's a new story about Chad Daybill and Lori Vallow.
He was in court, right?
Yeah. And it's a conversation they have, though, right before they find the bodies.
Oh.
And a couple other things that were said. And it's just kind of chilling and bizarre. And you can tell Chad Dable is bummed.
Oh, man.
And now think of that. The world didn't end on July 22nd. So everything, his world's falling apart.
I would be very sad.
If you're facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam. For nearly 30 years, Adam's been helping men just like you protect your rights, get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has the knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Adam is at 248-356-2326, 248-356-ADAM. So, guys, nobody wants to go through that. But if you are, you might as well have people who are experts in the area of being a man. That's what they are.
While I cue this up, you're not going to believe it. There's a new actuality from the welder.
Oh, is there? Yeah,
let's see what he...
Well, every word... I'm hanging on every word.
It's very loud.
Must have been
I'm
after.
I'm glad he got a little chuckle out of it.
Might have been after the explosion. Well, he had a good view of the city.
Yes, he did.
Jesus Christ.
God, that explosion. It's just... Insane. I've never seen anything like it.
I found some audio from audio, not this crap that Mark keeps talking about.
Okay,
here it is.
Great.
Hold on.
Thank you.
I made a terrible, terrible mistake.
I bet you. I bet there's a lot more audio that we just haven't thought of yet.
What? Well,
something. I don't know why. I mean, I think it's out there. We just have to find it.
Oh, well, you're not going to believe this. Another one, too. This must have been recorded with his boss right before it happened.
I had the boo-boo.
So I guess he left it on. I don't know.
I heard somebody was taunting about losing his job or something, too, after it happened, but before the explosion really hit. I don't know.
It's crazy. I think it's his boss.
You about to lose your job.
Imagine the guy making a case for not losing his job. Oh, come on!
It started too close!
Yeah! It was totally unsafe! Nobody warned me!
Oh, well, here he is after the explosion.
I mean, the whole room looks like a Thanksgiving toilet after a turkey recall. Just spattered. Warped.
Oh, yeah.
That's really unfortunate that he went.
That is so gross,
talk about
too.
Something like that.
What a gross... analogy there.
Well, you could tell the people around him did not like that analogy.
Hey, I had an interesting email today, and it was about our website.
Oh.
And they said that apparently this person, and I don't know who this is, but some other people are saying the same thing, that the About Us category, it says still coming soon on our website. And I think it said still coming for 4 years.
Drew, if you look on the whiteboard in the upper right-hand corner, yes, I wrote like 2 years ago, I wrote, note to self, do the About Us section. I think it's still there.
Well, come on. Why he knows about us? Why is he looking at the About Us?
And by the way, the person who sent this to me spelled it still coming, C-U-M-M-I-N-G.
Well, yeah. That's not what it says on the website, though, is it?
No, I don't think so.
I can change that.
You're so mature.
Boy, it is hard to have a skeleton staff where people don't have specific responsibilities necessarily.
It's, yeah.
I mean, what do people need to know anyway?
It's been coming soon for 4 years.
4 years. By the way, are our email addresses all easily accessible on the website? Because some people might have been saying that it's just the mail at Drew and Mike is very easily accessible, but maybe not all the other ones.
All right, fine.
Write
it down. Fix website.
Passing it on. And we're number 97 in spite of all that. So that's pretty
imagine
cool.
Imagine if people knew about us.
I know.
What number we would be at.
Exactly. In fact, I wonder if we've...
We should have people write the About Us for us.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that's a, you know, that way, then it's off. Can they make the correction on the website too? So
no, we'll have to do that, but we can cut and paste their responses if they want to email it to us. And of course, the email addresses are Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy at drewandmikepodcast.com. So write our bios for us, and then we'll find pictures and throw
seems
it on
like
there.
A contest almost, doesn't it?
Oh, that's good. Let's do it. Oh, my gosh. You're not going to believe this. The boss of the welder has been reached for more comment.
Oh, good.
I think, this looks like it's right after the explosion.
What's he doing up there?
Because some people really did want to hear from him, wondering what kind of training the guy had, that sort of thing. Why does that drop get so much play?
Which one?
What's he doing up there?
Because it's awesome.
I know, it's really good.
It's
I do
so
like it
clean.
A lot.
Oh, Lord. Okay. I'll let you know if any more breaking comments comes across. Oh, Brandon, do you have one?
I did find one, and this was from some of his coworkers.
Yeah, they were all loving it. They know he's in deep shit if they ever find him.
And then here was his follow-up comment.
I'm in trouble.
Clean out your desk. You're gone.
Oh, come on. That's harsh. What? They haven't even investigated it yet. Doesn't the guy get due process?
One little mistake.
Will anyone dare to say the welder deserves due process?
Someone on Facebook Live wrote, is he in a union?
Hey, guys, he's already apologized.
Gee, I guess I was wrong. I mean, it was a simple mistake, and I'm really sorry.
I get hired back.
It's my first day.
Okay, so Lori Vallow is apparently in prison, and she calls Chad. When they are on the grounds, they're like an hour away from arresting him after they find the kids. This fucking bitch. I hate her. God, she's evil looking, isn't she?
She's still, does she look hot or gross now that she's been in jail?
She's perma gross.
Recording perma of a conversation gross. Between Chad Daybell and his wife, Lori Vallow, on the day police found the remains of her children.
Yeah, thanks for listening to the podcast, Robot.
Marcus Moore has the story.
Yeah. What, do they record this off a Zoom meeting? Why is it so echoey?
Listen how bummed he sounds.
What did he say?
I didn't hear what he said.
He said,
yeah, they're searching the property.
I mean, he's very, it's, play it again, because I think what
I'll read what he says, too. Or you can read it. You want to be Chad?
They're searching the property. That's all he says.
The house right now?
You are listening
to... No, he said the property, you dope.
Anyway, yeah.
...is the last known communication between Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell.
What, are they in the house?
Are they at the house?
No, they're at the property.
Are they seizing stuff again?
Are they seizing stuff again?
Authorities say that Lowe, who was already behind bars, called Daybell while investigators
were
searching
his Idaho
fucking
kids.
Investigators
there
find
the zombies.
Vallow's missing children, 7-year-old JJ and 17-year-old Tylee. Less than an hour after this call, police arrested David.
Pretty handsome.
Prosecutors played that chilling call Tuesday during a preliminary
hearing. Face.
Oh, he cleaned himself up.
People are constantly knocking on my door. At my door, looking for me, and I just don't want to be found.
Earlier this week, they played body cam audio from a November welfare check when police showed up at Vallow's house after a family member said they hadn't heard from the kids in a while.
I look like a suspect, but I am not a good person.
During that welfare check,
she sounds nuts.
Also told police she moved around a lot in the past year, hiding from a brother who she says was trying to kill her for her insurance policy, and also hiding from Kay Woodcock, JJ's grandmother, who she claims was trying to get custody of the 7-year-old. Woodcock,
who
made the call
idea.
To authorities to conduct that welfare check.
Grandma doesn't know how to wear a mask, just for the record.
As the audio played.
Nope.
I just don't tell people where I am. I don't tell her where I am, ever.
For months, suspicion swirled around the couple's alleged involvement after their children disappeared last fall. The newlewed's moving to Hawaii.
Oh my God,
they're so
I've never
happy.
Seen those pictures. Their wedding
so
pictures.
So happy they are. They're all in white.
Wow.
Have both pleaded
they're
not
so
guilty
cute.
To the conspiracy and tampering with evidence charges they face. An arraignment date has been set for August 21st
this
George,
before.
In this heartbreaking case.
Who's that dude?
Okay, Marcus, thanks very much. Coming up next.
Oh. Why'd they get married if they thought the world was going to end?
You know, as far as this whole zombie thing and her family saying, well, I'm a cult and you know, she's doing. And I know they're going to suggest that, you know, she was somehow
brainwashed,
destroyed by Chad Daybell, brainwashed. Yeah. She tried to kill her first husband. Mm-hmm. She tried to have multiple people killed before there was any Chad Daybell action. I mean, there's so many efforts to hurt or kill people.
They're both equally awful, and they found each other.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
So it's annoying to find, you know, to hear this suggestion that, you know, this theory about the end of the world and the apocalypse, you know, led her to do this. No, she's a killer. He's a murderer. She's a murderer. And they were happy with each other. They sure were happy with no kids.
Wait, have you checked Chartable for their podcast rank? Is it still in the charts?
No, I haven't.
I would think this new attention, people might start downloading it again and listening to it, right?
Good luck with the podcast.
Yeah. You know what the name of the show was?
I have no idea.
Chad Day
the end of the world.
Wait, here it is. Here, hold on. I'll find their rank. They're 248 on in the news category.
What?
They're 29 in the commentary category in Britain. Why are they in the commentary category?
Oh, that's horse shit. I'm mad that they're actually ranked.
I know. That pisses me off,
too.
When
was the last new episode?
Let's see their rank history. Maybe they're going up.
What's their average reviews?
Oh, my God. That's
probably
great.
Some excellent reviews on them.
Let's see. Good job. Wait. What? Yeah, Lori Vallow, Chad Dable. Oh, Case. It's a true crime podcast.
Oh.
That's what I was saying. It's probably a true crime one.
Damn it.
Well, what's the don't they have
Chad,
one?
Chad Dable. Let me put him in and see what comes up.
Well, his official website is cdaybell.com, so I'm sure you can get to his podcast from there because he's written a lot of books that are for sale here.
I'm sure he had wonderful reviews on it. Oh, my God. His website's annoying.
It is.
It's the podcast is called, the true crime one is called Pretty Lies and Alibis. So, but if you search Chad Daybell podcast, I think it'll come right up on iTunes or anywhere.
He wrote a lot of books, man.
Oh, I know. He thinks he's so cool. So smart.
Wait, I want to see
this
description of this book. Let's see. An Errand for Emma. I recently went through the novel and updated a few scenes and improved a few paragraphs. You're supposed to do that before you publish it, Dick. And I admit, I even cried a bit at the end. We will be updating
Here's a nice piece of shit.
The entire Emma trilogy, Doug's Dilemma and Escape to Zion, will be available in the next couple weeks. Why are you updating your book?
Who reads that crap? God.
Evading Babylon.
I think the people who listened to that podcast and bought those books are complicit.
I think fame went to his head.
People love making people complicit, don't they?
Yeah.
It's not kind of a new thing.
We're all complicit and everything.
That reminds me. Michelle Obama's podcast debuted.
Oh.
Do I dare check the ranking? I bet it's if it's not number one, it's very close.
Have we ever listened to it?
No, but it's getting so much publicity. Let's see, Michelle.
Is that where the story came from, her coming out and saying that she's super depressed?
Yes. No, she has
rich and
she has low level depression.
Everybody has low-level depression to a degree. Everybody does. Nobody's life is perfect. Everybody's going to have some form of anxiety.
Well,
I kind of found it obnoxious, to be honest.
Yeah, that is
because,
obnoxious.
I mean, every time I see it, it's like Obama's parasailing or water skiing or you
doing
know,
something on for Netflix.
Or on the beach or, you know, or signing some multi-million dollar deal. It just doesn't look that bad. And I don't dislike either one of them, to be honest. I like Obama. He's a good guy.
I don't know if it's the right thing to say right now when people are struggling.
I thought it was annoying. And, of course, TMZ, it's the lead story. Michelle Obama has low-level depression. Oh, my God. And they're talking about, this is so wonderful because it's very relatable. And I'm like, oh, yeah, really. She's really relating. I mean, she's really relatable to people. And so this guy calls in, who, by the way, is black. And he's like, I don't think it's such a good thing at all. I mean, why don't you get off her ass and do something? She's the one that can change things. They got so pissed. They basically told the guy off.
Wow. Yeah, here's
a clip. It wasn't like, well, I don't agree with you, but that's a good point. He's like, no, you're wrong. Bye.
Here's a clip of it.
She.
Really? Is that the guest?
Maybe that was the welder.
Oh, speaking of the welder.
I did
find actual audio. Seriously, let's stop joking about this.
Okay, no, I did want to get the real audio up. I knew you had it, but let's get it on there. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, did it? That didn't work out well at all, did it?
By the way, that might be my favorite drop.
That's pretty good.
That might be my favorite drop. I mean, the whole thing.
The beginning
is the shortened versions. The edit, the radio edit version is great, but I love the dance mix, too.
The longer version? Yeah.
Yeah.
You pull it up.
Yeah, play the whole thing because he did blow up like a billion people. I mean, might as well hear the whole audio piece of audio. Beirut why shorten it?
Beirut doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, that didn't work out well, didn't it? That didn't work out well at all, did it? Okay, didn't work out either. Great, I'll just shut up now. The first part was good, though. The second part wasn't good at all. Okay, great. But the first part was wonderful at some point. Okay, you want me to continue or should I just keep embarrassing myself from further? Okay.
It's the nervous laugh that I love so much.
He doesn't stop talking either.
I know. He's so uptight. He can't stop talking.
Seagrass, out.
Oh, man.
So low, what really funny. I've never even heard of low-level depression being a thing. Is that that's a real medical thing?
It means that, like, she's occasionally bummed out, is the way I took it.
Well, sure, but who isn't?
You know, like when the dog takes a crap in the house, you know, that she's that kind of bummed out.
Sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like, especially right now, with everybody going through, you know, the COVID-19, the year 2020, where everything going crazy, you have to think about your work. You have to think about your kids. You have to think about infecting people.
Yeah,
yeah, there's going to be a little bit of depression from this year.
Well, honestly, I hear almost
problems.
I hear very little discussion of the depression that I would think would be rampant over, like, being furloughed, possibly not keeping your job. I mean, all the economic issues that could be coming from this, which are monstrous. And I hear almost nothing about it. But Michelle Obama has low-level depression, and boom, it's breaking news.
The thing I hate about it, and we talk about this when, you know, everybody has anxiety, is that it kind of minimizes it for the people that are severely depressed or have severe anxiety.
I would rather be depressed with $70 million than
sure.
depressed.
Than happy you know. With no dollars?
Well, you know what it reminded me of? Because, honestly, there's no reason for me to be upset because she says she has low-level depression. I mean, I understand what she's saying. A lot of people are depressed. Though. It's a little tone deaf. And last night I was reading about how Oprah is doing this thing where she's explaining white privilege or something to that effect. Did you see it, Brandon?
I did, yeah. Yeah, Oprah, yeah, she basically kind of came out and... You know, she's just calling out white privilege. It's happened before. It's just it's different when a billionaire does it.
No, it absolutely is, because she and I only read a few quotes, but there was something about how you always have your whiteness. And I'm like, oh, my God, really? I mean, do you really? I mean, that is such a broad brush. Can you imagine? I was going to give an example, but very inappropriate. I'm just trying to think of somebody who's. Had
this is Oprah's minge.
Something horrific happened to them, which is all that, I mean, happens to people all the time. And they go, oh, but I've got my whiteness.
Yeah.
I mean, really? Are you fucking kidding me? Mm-hmm. That is just, I don't know. I'm just really, this topic is getting a little overwhelming, this whole, all this stuff. Because, and that was part of the Michelle Obama thing was, she said, every morning she wakes up to a black person dehumanized, killed, or falsely accused. It can be very overwhelming. Well, that's not all that's going on. I mean,
your husband was president. What did he do about it? I just expect to hear that response.
I haven't heard that yet, but I'm sure it'll be heard. It'll be said. No, I mean, believe me, I know that there's a lot of things going on that are upsetting people. And boy, I tell you what, they sure get a lot of clicks because they sure like to put them in the headlines. And for someone like her, who I would think would have a very broad view of the world, to sort of...
Neither of those messages should be delivered by Michelle Obama or
I didn't
Oprah.
Feel it. Just didn't feel good to me.
Sorry. Just shouldn't be delivered by either one of them.
By the way, Joe Biden today, he had a weird...
His teeth still falling out?
I don't know.
I think it's been my favorite thing over the past week, Obama's
half-brother
claiming that Biden's teeth are falling out.
He had some weird exchange with a reporter about cocaine.
Oh, really? What is he asking? Was he asking for some?
No, it was about taking a cognitive test. And can you look it up? You guys didn't hear about this? I mean, I'm sure the audio.
Please clarify specifically. Have you taken a cognitive?
No,
test?
No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his tests and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental physical as well as my mental fitness.
Not the place to have a boy. Not the place to have a flub. With that answer.
That's the end of the cut.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, well, I thought he said something kind of funny. A million different videos.
Yeah, it was a super cut.
He said something about, so he can tell an elephant from a dinosaur. Ooh. But what was the, cocaine thing? And you're, are you a junkie? Well, I didn't understand what he meant.
Did the guy have a lot of energy or something? I mean, that's, if a guy had a lot of energy, yeah, I guess you would want to know if he took a cocaine test. And the reason people are asking Biden if he took a cognitive test was because of the flub he made just after that.
Yeah, that didn't work out very well.
It's not a good analogy.
Now, by the way, the Yosemite thing.
Yeah, Yosemite. Yeah.
Was that a big story? Because I saw it on the news this morning.
It was for a little bit, yeah.
Will this make the news? Will this be a big news story? Because it's a very badly placed flub.
It trended for a while, yeah.
And the whole cocaine thing, does anyone know what he meant? I honestly don't know what he meant.
Well, he's trying. What he's trying to say is there's no reason why would I need to take a cognitive test. I'm totally with it. Like, in other words, why would you need to take a cocaine test? Because you're not on cocaine. It's a terrible analogy, but I think that's what he's
amazement as Old Faithful bursts into the sky when they gaze upon Yosemite's towering sequoias.
I love the flowery words he was reading. I mean, somebody wrote this. Oh, it's such a beautiful piece of writing and flower. I don't know. This will be wonderful. And what did he say? Yosemites?
Yosemites. No.
Yosemites.
Have you seen the cut up version of Trump interviewing himself based off the Axios?
No.
Interview, which the Axios interview is pretty captivating to watch for 37 minutes, but here's the minute 19 clip of Trump interviewing himself.
Take a look at some of these charts. In numerous categories, we're lower than the world. Let me explain. Well, right here, take a look.
He's already interrupting himself.
You can test too much. You do know that. What it says is when you have somebody that has it, where there's a case, we're last. No, but you're not reporting it correctly. We have cases. Our testing, I believe. This is the testing. Yeah. Yep. Check it out. New cases. The top one, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. We test more. We have. Now, take a look. Death is way down from where it was.
He basically keeps interrupting himself.
These are the tests. It leveled out and it's going down. But you have to look at this. Excuse me. Where it was is much higher than where it is right now. But you don't know that. That's my report as of yesterday. Wait a minute. You have to go by where. Look, here is the United States.
You have to go by the cases, what's called science. We have more cases. Don't we get credit for that?
Well, we show
that was them. They put in the fart when
they are dying. That's true.
I don't know. It's a really well edited video.
And they put the fart in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm curious on, though. Like, is I do know that, you know, Trump talks about the testing, that there's more testing in the United States. And then we take a look at Lebanon yesterday, and Lebanon's had 65,000 cases in their entire country, 60 mm-hmm. deaths. I just don't think they're testing anybody. So
maybe they
there
are.
There is something to that.
Did anybody see the story today? Maybe it was yesterday. It was about how Sweden is doing great again.
I saw like a week ago when the, I don't know, every week it's, we're doing terrible, we're doing wonderful, we're doing terrible, we're doing wonderful.
Yeah, I saw this being debated to some degree today too, and I'm so tired of people who suddenly seem to be doctors. I mean, they seem to have the knowledge of a doctor or an epidemiologist. Mm-hmm. Go back to Dr. Phil and Dr. Drew, who are making ridiculous statements, especially Dr. Phil. He's not a fucking doctor.
No.
And Dr. Drew is talking out of his ass. But really, you see people who are not doctors saying ridiculous things and arguing. And I'm talking about regular people arguing, for example, about hydrochloroquine and what it does and what it doesn't do. And then you see a million different studies which say different. It's like, oh, my God, this is insane. Just everybody please shut up.
Yeah, because we're in the middle of the scientific process right now.
Oh, and somebody tested positive at one of the Georgia schools already.
Yeah, it's a second grader on the first day.
Well, they were jammed up pretty good.
Second grader, yeah. And then there's the place up north, the camp up north, where 27 campers and 27 counselors tested positive.
What? Oh, wait. There was one camp where 265 people tested positive.
I'm talking about the one. Was it? Where was it? Was it Zealand? Where was it, Brandon?
Is it Gladwin?
Oh, Michigan. Gladwin. Thank you. Yeah.
Well, when I read about this one that had 265 positive tests, first of all, I'm thinking, why would you go to summer camp and sleep in bunks and little like dormitories. I mean, it just seems like a pretty bad idea.
I don't think it's going to spread.
But you've got people clumped together. Anytime you clump people together, the disease tends to spread. I mean, am I wrong about that?
No, not at all. But we tend to read a lot, and maybe some people don't. I don't know. Or they don't want to believe it, or they just want their kids out of the house, probably.
I mean, I really don't want to argue about the medicine, but there's certain things that we do know that are they're pretty certain of. And so, you know, I go crazy sometimes when I see, you know, the governor's doing this but not doing that, or, oh, we're going to open the casinos, but we're going to shut down this, or we're not going to open this, but we're going to open that. And
or not taking vacation when, you know, other people are driving to New Jersey.
What was it?
thank you, Brandon. Brandon finally caught what I meant.
It took me a minute to find out.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Exactly what you were talking about.
Ivanka?
No, Maz is driving to New Jersey for vacation.
Oh, I didn't know he's driving to New Jersey.
You butt out.
Well, he's driving at least.
I think he's driving. I assume he's driving. I don't know. He's pretty safe.
I don't understand why, and I'm tired of this topic because I know we've talked about it before, but like yesterday I see that Michigan State is telling people to stay home. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bring the football team, and we're going to practice. We're going to play a Big Ten schedule. We got our 10 games lined up. But you students, stay home. It's too dangerous. But you guys tackling each other and spitting on each other and doing all that, that's okay. Then we have University of Michigan saying, come to school. Come on. Get in your dorms. Let's go. And you have to not work. You have to, what was the other thing? Don't work. Don't.
Didn't you have to socially distance for 14 days before you got to Ann Arbor?
No, it was more complicated than that. It was don't work. Take your temperature twice a day. Well, they don't want you to work. They don't want you to do something else they mentioned specifically. But they said for 14 days. Mm-hmm. Now, how do they verify that everyone did that? And why are they inviting people to campus where you have all these people gathered together, taking classes, going to bars, doing this, doing that? And Whitmer says nothing about that.
I know.
Is that a big nothing? Why are casinos okay? Why is it okay to have a giant college campus full of people?
Look, we know why casinos are okay, because they have a big lobby and they provide a revenue stream for the city. I mean, that's really it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, there's no question about it.
And the tribal casinos are open with no restrictions. So,
And by the way, yesterday,
the competition there, and it's not fair and it's bullshit, but that's just the way it is and that's the way it works.
Charlie came back last night and we were talking about this, and he said, oh, yeah, the casinos are open. That's great. And then he pointed out that they're allowing 400 people to go to the casino at one time. I was like, wait, 400 people? That seems like more than 15% to me. And so we looked up the capacity and it was like, wait, the capacity's 2,400? I've never seen 2,400 people in our casinos. I mean, that seems like that number's been fattened up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you were talking about earlier the conspiracy theory that the universities want students on campus so they can play football and make money.
Yes.
I don't know if I believe that, because what doesn't that big athletic department get? How much money in revenue?
Well, I think actually the truth of the matter is they're both about the money. You would not you would not tell your students come back to school if you were worried about coronavirus. You would say take them online, stay home.
But they make far more money with the school.
Yeah, because they're in the dormitories and they're eating the food on campus, and you know,
they're paying tuition, I guess, either there or elsewhere. But the athletic departments get $54 million from the Big Ten network. That's the bulk of their income. Yeah, they get some on ticket sales too, but we know there's not going to be any fans there, at least at 20% of the fans.
Well, I don't believe the conspiracy theory that they're making kids go to school so they can justify, because they did say, when it's kids on campus, we're not going to play football. So I don't think that's the way it worked. I think it's a matter of they both want the money.
1,000,
it's that simple.
1,000 Big Ten football players have joined the College Athlete Unity. That's what the Pac-12 was doing with their list of demands. And I read the full list of demands for the Big Ten. They're not as ridiculous as the Pac-12.
I didn't really find it to be that ridiculous. I just find it ridiculous they would expect them to do all that.
No. But, I mean, it's really just sticking to the health of COVID and what they want, you know, the conference to do. And it's actually not just the conference. It's the NCAA. And I just laughed at this one line, which I think you'll appreciate, because they're talking about the lack of leadership with the NCAA and how they're letting conferences just decide, and they don't really care about the well-being of the players. And then they throw this line.
No, it's all about the money.
This line, the NCAA, which is known for its zeal for regulations and enforcement, has had ample time to prepare for the safe return of its athletes to competition, yet has done nothing. Its laissez-faire approach is forcing each conference and each school to create its own plan, resulting in inconsistent policies, procedures, and protocols. I just like the line, known for their zeal of regulations and enforcement. They are one of the most hypocritical entities in the world.
They have a lot of zeal when FIFA, it comes to keeping players from making money using their images and signing autographs and all the little and having a summer job and all the little bullshit that they try to pretend really mattered.
It's about keeping money.
Yeah,
but actually, looking at their full list of demands, they're pretty reasonable.
What else are they demanding?
Oh, it's mainly about safety and oversight, and they want a third party to do the testing because they clearly don't trust their own athletic departments to tell the truth.
Colorado State players came out today and said, hey, they're lying about all the protocols, which I have to tell you right away. I said, who's gonna stop Clemson or Alabama or Florida or Ohio State or one of these super football factories from going, let's not talk about the test this week. Probably fall positive because they want to win a game or they don't want somebody to be inactive or they bring them back early because, he probably had it earlier than we knew. So he's probably okay. I mean, I just see if they're willing to pay players to go to colleges and cheat on recruiting and cheat on everything else, why wouldn't they cheat on COVID testing? Because these guys aren't going to die.
And that's what most of it is about,
And the players will want to play too, but the Colorado State players called out the school for cheating.
That's incredible.
I know, it is incredible.
And that's one of the things the Big Ten players want. They want whistleblower protections for athletes that report a suspected violation, which,
well, I would think they would just tweet it out like all the other athletes.
Here's the most reasonable, or the thing that's probably the furthest off topic for the whole safety and COVID. They want complimentary access to the Big Ten Network for athlete family members.
What?
Yeah, I guess they just want free cable. I don't know. Or free password.
Okay.
To the Big Ten Network.
That's not really asking all that much.
I'm just kind of surprised they don't get it anyway.
Yeah.
But, it's another benefit, so.
Oh, that's right. That's income. Well, these parents chase these kids all over the world to watch games, and a lot of them aren't made of money.
Yeah, and if you can't, then their kids are generating
billions of dollars.
If you want to act like they're kids and not labor.
It's really strange because I played a long time ago, and, we had scholarships, and it seemed like such a great deal to me. I wasn't in a revenue sport, so it didn't really dawn on me how much it was about the money. Because it wasn't that much about the money in the 70s and the 80s when I was playing.
Yeah.
And
even for football, it wasn't.
No, not that much. You were on football. You were on TV twice a year. Yeah. That was the most you could be on TV. And, at that time, I think the stadium at Virginia Tech held 35 or 36,000. Of course, as football got bigger, now it holds 70,000. And you see that everywhere where it's bigger, 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 more times on TV, more money, bigger network deals, bigger, everything.
Tremendous school.
And Bo always said, leather meets ball at noon on Saturday, and if you want to cover it, that's fine. Well, no, that's not how it works anymore.
No, TV,
they will move games to Monday night, Thursday night, Friday night, any night. You want a big TV audience and you want us to be a part of it, we're in.
It really started, if you want to point to something, probably Magic and Bird blowing up the whole NCAA tournament. And then finally, I think in the late 80s, they got rid of the whole one team a year rule on TV. And they just said, anybody can air anything, make your own deals.
All the games are on. All the games are on. The ratings are huge. The money is gigantic. And then the merch. The merch is insane. I don't know. What does Michigan make on merch in a year?
I don't know.
I know they're one of the best.
Yeah.
But
we'll buy anything with the M on it.
I always felt
including masks.
Yes. Yeah. I think everybody's selling masks now, aren't they?
Yeah.
I've seen them all over.
Yeah.
I just thought that, scholarship, that's a great deal. 4 years, you get your old school paid for, your food, your room and board, all that. It's a pretty good deal. But then as you start getting into billions, billions of dollars with multiple networks,
mm-hmm.
and everything's about the money, even still with player's health, like, we'll do this, we'll take your temperature, and, you know. I mean, football is the last thing you would do if you didn't want to get coronavirus. It's absolutely the last sport you would play. But, oh, no, it's going to be fine, we're going to do this, we're going to... No, they're going to travel. They're going to fly to games. We're not going to do that game in Washington. We'll fly to Iowa, but we won't fly to Washington.
What's the difference?
No, it's insane, and it's funny. I feel like I'm a real asshole for calling it out because I'll be watching the games, and I love college football, but it's just so hypocritical. And the optics, too, of all these black players.
Yeah.
You know, the best college football players are generally black guys, great running backs, great quarterbacks, great wideouts, great cornerbacks, these linebackers who weigh 250 pounds and can run a 4.640, and these defensive linemen who, you know, now they're huge and fast and strong and I'm just phenomenal athletes. And they don't make any money, and then you've got these white coaches making $8, $9, $10 million. Yeah. And all these people in the athletic department, I mean, honestly, if you look at, and at a lot of schools, the information's available, what the assistant coaches are making, what the trainers are making, what the, all these.
There's 100 assistant athletic directors.
And the fundraisers who go out and raise money, I mean, they're probably pretty well paid.
You know when it really
And these people in charge of facilities, and the assistant athletic, and the associate athletic director, and all.
John Falk. And,
yes. They make tons of money because you don't have to pay the players.
It really hit me. Years ago, I can't remember what school was redoing their locker rooms, and they were, it might have been Oregon when they redid it all, and it was just like the most pointless stuff in there that they could put in because they had to spend the money because they can't run such a big revenue, you know, a profit.
And they have the money.
It's like, oh, so you can build waterfalls in your training.
Yeah, so you can recruit guys to play for free and keep the money flowing.
Such horseshit.
And if I hear one more person associated with college football say, well, of course, the safety of the player comes first.
Yeah, right.
Would you shut up?
No, it's always been about.
You wouldn't play football if the safety came first.
It's always been about the brand. Hey, do you want to see a new embarrassing Joe Biden video that he put out?
What's it all about?
Yeah, he wrote, there's been a lot of talk about my vetting process recently. Here's a look inside. And it's a minute 20 video. Have you seen this, Brandon?
I don't think so.
All right, here it is. It's him standing outside.
I like to drive. I used to think I was a pretty good driver.
So he's got a Corvette Stingray. He's got his mask on. You know, he's peeling out his rocks. That Corvette's kind of fucking cool.
I didn't get a chance to flash shift in the second. I was afraid I'd go through those guys.
No, you weren't. You forgot.
Tomorrow morning, we're talking about cars and what car you'd like to see come back.
Footprint there, Joe.
I love this car. Nothing but incredible memories. Every time I get in, I think of my dad and Bo. God, can my dad drive a car.
But not Hunter?
Oof. The thing I like most is
what about Frank?
The setup right here. And you feel like you're
in
complete
control. The kind of car
control.
Frank was driving when he ran over that guy in California.
Now,
yeah.
No, he shifted in front here.
Yeah, what did Frank yell? Got it!
This is iconic industry. How can American-made vehicles no longer be out there?
That was a Jaguar, wasn't it?
We can own the 21st century market again by moving to electric vehicles. And by the way, they tell me, and I'm looking forward if it's true to driving one, that they're making an electric Corvette and go 200 miles an hour. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding.
You're not going in a Corvette 200
miles an hour. I'm excited about it.
He just ripped the door off, backing up there.
Yeah, I don't even think he knew he was in a car at the end of that thing where he's backing up.
While we're doing audio, I do have more audio from the welder.
Oh, more? Okay, great. This just came in? Okay.
Sorry, it did come in. This is from Reuters.
Damn it.
That's it.
They also added this.
To the point.
They added this one, too. This just came in.
Not looking too good.
Sounds.
Well said.
I think that was like 3 seconds after the explosion.
Can you give me my phone back?
Oh, yeah.
I sent myself a couple things I wanted to mention.
I was going to say, maybe Biden can take that sweet Corvette to the MAGA cruise on August 14th on Woodward.
What? Biden! The MAGA cruise?
Yeah.
What? Come on. Why?
Why not?
Why a MAGA cruise? Why not just the cruise? Okay, the cruise is canceled. So, oh, wait, was that Kristen?
Kristen and Maddie just delivered his dinner. What is that?
Did Kristen? Kristen looked really cute, but was she made up properly? Because that's why she doesn't. She alleges she doesn't want to come on camera.
Brandon's more concerned with trying to figure out what he's eating because he just said, I don't know what this is.
What is this thing? It's like a white.
No, isn't that mashed potatoes? Yeah,
carry on.
No, what is it? Bite it.
It's, I don't know. It's like a noodle, but it's chicken? Really thick, and there's some chicken Noki? And green beans.
Brandon would be so easy to poison.
Maybe that's Kristen's plan.
I like feeding Brandon some kind of slop every night, so he doesn't know what he's getting.
Like Big Brother?
And then if I ever get sick of him, I'll just poison him.
Yeah, that's what Kristen's doing.
I just don't know what kind of... These are really thick noodles. They're almost like dumplings.
Maybe they're maybe it's chicken and dumplings.
Maybe. Okay.
The Dream Cruise may be officially canceled this year because of COVID-19. By the way, it never would have been canceled. People are cruising now, just like they always do.
Yeah, really.
And there's people sitting in chairs, and they're not huge crowds or anything. It's really nothing to worry about. Not yet. So...
Well, who cares if they're driving? I mean, people are driving everywhere.
The cruise will happen. People will cruise that day. I guarantee it. There'll be tons of cars going up and down Woodward, and I don't think it'll amount to hurting anyone. I doubt it.
Well, it depends if people are going to be sitting there watching. Having their big events, because all the cities have canceled their events.
Well, without the organized events and sponsored events, I don't think you have the same risk of crowding up as you normally would. There will probably be some people who will be stupid, but, I mean, they'll be stupid somewhere else if they weren't there.
I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, a lot of those parking lots along Woodward would sell spots, you know, because the businesses are closed.
Right.
I don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to sell spots? Or are they going to close off?
I would think they'd sell the spots because now the mega car cruise
mega. Is
roaring to take its place. And you don't have to have a classic car to play along. Oh.
MAGA.
Oh, no, that's even dumber. That means everybody in any car can... boring. The Oakland County Republican Party announced Tuesday is sponsoring the cruise on Wilbert Avenue Saturday, August 15th, the day the Dream Cruise would normally be held. So if you want Biden, you're not supposed to be in the cruise?
No, it's not a Biden cruise. What? It's not a Biden cruise. It's a...
MAGA.
Cruise.
Well, why wouldn't they shut this cruise down?
Because they're driving on a public road.
Yeah, but it's an organized thing, and they're worried about COVID in the other cruise. Why would this cruise not cause problems? I mean, can't people have mega cruise parties?
They're still allowed to drive on the road.
Why make this political? Why does everything have to become political? And are people going to cruise and say, I hate Trump, and have signs saying Trump sucks and all that? Probably will, right?
That's probably what you're going to see. You're probably going to see protesters with
but
signs.
But that's stupid. Nobody wants. I mean, that's just annoying to everyone, I think.
Drive safely.
The event is aimed at bringing together classic car owners who are MAGA-loving Trump supporters.
I drive a Dodge Stratus!
Why do we want to make everything about politics? My God. I don't know how anyone can feel partisan about anyone. I honestly don't know why how anyone falls in love with any political candidate anymore. I don't get it.
You know, the Trump's base is far more rabid and excited.
No, and I don't even understand
that.
I understand people preferring one candidate over another, but I don't understand this buying in and this whole, wanting to argue with anyone who comes along. I just don't get it.
Or having to wear a body camera because you want to wear your hat.
Or people on the left are the ones who will attack someone wearing a MAGA hat, and I don't know why people do that. I think that's dumber than encountering someone over a mask, and they're both dumb. The mega cruisers will find themselves jammed together with hundreds, if not thousands, of traditional dream cruisers who are unlikely to let an official declaration canceling the event keep them home. Right. So now they're going to have to, because if I didn't want a certain candidate and I wanted to be in the cruise, which is going to be a lot of people, then you might feel inclined to put up some obnoxious sign.
Yeah,
saying you don't like this candidate, or Biden signs. So you've essentially turned this into a political cruise, which I just don't get that at all. But they've had Trump
MAGA.
Boat cruises.
Well, but the boat I gotta say,
the
boats are a little different though, because not everybody has a boat. Not everybody can, gather around where boats go. I mean, Woodward is a pretty defined location where they're gonna be driving the loop. So you're gonna see protesters of all kind.
That's just an obnoxious day I don't want any part of.
What? That'll be a blast.
There's gonna be cars.
There's going to be what?
Any kind of car. Cars.
Any kind of
cars.
Car.
K-E-Y-A-R. Cars.
Is Mel going to be out there?
Yeah, Mel will be out there. Oh, that makes see that
it's
makes
very
Mel,
loud.
That makes Mel a MAGA fan. Does Mel want to be
he's
a
no
MAGA
more,
fan?
No longer Monkey Mobile Mel. He's MAGA Mobile Mel.
Maybe he'll have a MAGA Mobile.
He's MAGA Mobile Mel. Should we
the
call him?
The car actually runs. If I'm going in like 5 mile an hour traffic on Woodward, it runs at about 180. If I'm on the expressway, it actually runs about 210.
Somebody called him and asked him if he was going to be out there for the MAGA cruise, and he said,
I guess that's the plan, unless it's raining.
When did he answer our call last time? Was it about this time in the show?
Oh, we snuck up on him on a Sunday.
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah, well, replicas.
Why don't we try him? Why not?
No.
Just the one line.
Ears.
No, he has every reason to talk to us about the collector's call. I mean, we're fans of Mel. There's no reason for him to avoid us. The MAGA Cruise question might be a little unsettling.
Well, what cars?
Mel.
What cars are you gonna drive to?
Well, the Monkey Mobile would make him look like a MAGA person.
Oh yeah,
because it's red, right?
Is that the answer you want to hear?
I think Mel will want to be in neutral colors. He may have to go to the Batmobile. He has so many options.
He does. That's the good thing. You'd drive the Shaggin' Wagon.
Come on, Mel, please. By the way, what's the reason for calling Ricky Henderson if we do call him?
Talking about the baseball season. We miss him.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a great excuse. Why didn't I think of that?
Come on, Mel. Where are you? Answer your phone.
Hi, this is Mel. Please leave a message.
He hates you!
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Mel, it's Drew and Mike again. Cruise is coming up. Come on, Mel.
I want to talk
to you. Put everything in the past, all the negative stuff.
Now there's a twist to the cruise, and we thought, who can talk about it better than you?
Not to mention the Collector's Call television show. You were on the international program.
Yeah, you were never going to take that deal. That was loot. I was insulted that guy even offered that deal to you.
I hope you're over it, because that probably would take a couple days,
MAGA.
I would think. Anyway, Mel, thanks, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
Be safe. All right.
See ya.
MAGA, MAGA, MAGA.
Oh, God, I hate that. And I'm not saying I hate anyone or any candidate. It's just, why make it political?
MAGA.
Why?
Just know it's going to be a problem.
Are all classic car owners MAGA fans?
I would think it'd be a higher percentage than the normal the regular population.
Why would that be?
Older?
I mean,
whiter? Money?
Does anyone
takes money to have a classic car?
It doesn't take that much money. There's a lot of people who just fix them up themselves.
Sure. And I'm not saying everyone. I'm not broad brushing everyone. I just say compared to the
population. You see a lot of cars that are just normal cars from the 70s or whatever, and they're just fixed up. They're just in great shape. So it's like, oh my God, look at that Torino.
Yeah.
Grand Torino. Look at that number. I hate that song so much.
It's the worst. I don't think it's 90-10. It's probably, I don't know, what, 65,
why would
35?
I guess I'm having trouble understanding. Okay, maybe is it because people under 40, well, I've heard this, that millennials don't like classic cars, which I go, why would millennials?
Because they haven't been exposed to them.
What do you mean they haven't been exposed to them? They've been, the whole time they've been alive, they've had, there've been classic cars around.
Yeah, but Brandon, what year were you born? 84?
Especially here.
84, 85?
Do you hate classic 84. Cars?
But
I love classic cars.
Wouldn't you like to have a cool old Camaro or an old?
I did have one. I had a 62 Chevy Impala, cherry red.
Well, right. What's wrong with the millennials and classic cars? What's up with that?
I don't know. So my buddies a lot of my buddies have nice vehicles. Not a ton of classic cars, because some of those can get pretty expensive. But I got buddies who are gearheads and like to work on that stuff.
Yeah, it just. People would suggest, and I've read this, that millennials, we just don't like cars. And I always thought the car love affair was just first of all.
That's not true. That's Gen Z. No, millennials love their cars. Millennials got their licenses on time. It's Gen Z who are waiting until they graduate high school to get their driver's license.
The only point I wanted to make, like, say you were born in 1980, and by the time you get your license, it's 96. So much of the car industry was like, homogenized. You didn't have those unique cars that you did in the 70s and even early 80s. So you don't have the cars of your high school.
But there's always cool cars.
Sure,
there's always those cars that, you know.
Well, the cars I like are from 30 years before I was born, you know.
When I was 13, I remember liking, you know, Corvettes and Cadillacs.
But they were
cool
badass
cars.
Then when you were 13.
Well, there were still Corvettes around in 1995.
When I was 13, the K car was all the rage.
Well, it was a rough stretch of road, but I mean, there've been plenty of great cars. It just doesn't seem like I agree.
I just think that's why there's been a little lessening of the love affair because you don't have the uniqueness and cares anymore.
I don't know. I'm counting on millennials to fall in love with cars at some point in their lives. I don't know what the problem is. Come on, millennials.
Yeah, come on, Brandon.
I don't think it's a millennial. A millennial issue.
It didn't make any sense to me. It's like, who could not? It's like, well, now they like taking Ubers and.
Well, I enjoy taking Ubers.
Very sad.
I enjoy taking Ubers and Lyfts and cabs when I'm.
All right, that sounds great.
Now I enjoy having my everyday driver, and yeah, if I did have enough money to have a classic car, I would love to do that. But I don't have the garage for it. I don't have a place to store it. So until I get a place where I could feel comfortable with that,
just dawned on me. I didn't do the Royal
Oak. Is that the answer you want to hear?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't do the Royal Oak commercial today, did I?
Yes.
I don't think I did. I did the sponsorship, I totally gapped because it was the first one here, and I didn't want to read it until we got into. Okay, here we go. Downtown Royal Oak is famous for shopping and dining options such as Luigi's, Right Impressions, City Raymond. I'll turn the page and go to Royal Oak.
Someone called it City
Luigi.
City Rain Man. And there was City Raymond, and now City Rain Man.
Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, The Proving Grounds Coffee and Ice Cream, Creative Arts Studio, Desert Oasis, Supertype, Lyft, and so on and so forth. Anyway, your Royal Oak Bucks, they're in your hands. There's going to be more coming, though. If you do get your Royal Oak Bucks, they're going to unload some cash pretty soon. You'll have a chance to just send a quick email and get $20 in Royal Oak Bucks. And the Lyft program, which honestly, I looked at the numbers, it was a little light. Like the yesterday, there were 97 redemptions in Royal Oak, people that went and spent their Royal Oak Bucks. I know, it's great. It's every day. And that wasn't even a big day.
That's a nice place.
So people are loving all these places, and they're spending them on retail, and they're spending them on coffee and ice cream and all those things. So the Lyft thing, though, I'm not sure. Are people afraid to take Lyft at this? I mean, they're afraid to take the Uber or the Lyft or the whatever because of COVID?
I don't know.
Maybe it is that people aren't staying out late drinking and so they feel they can drive themselves. And there's free parking. If you want to do that, it's not a problem. But just saying, the Lyft thing is available.
Oh, interesting.
$10 off if you use the code GO2ROYAL.
I'm just saying.
GO2RO is the code. Get $10 off your Lyft ride in, $10 off your Lyft ride home. And people are getting Lyfts at 1 in the morning if you're worried about that. Shouldn't.
Great.
And if you have a problem, I'll pick you up. So there.
Yeah, right.
5 p.m. To 2 a.m. Thursday and Friday evenings and late night. And then Saturday and Sunday all day, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m.
Can I take a Lyft to Royal Oak during the MAGA cruise and make the Lyft driver on the
You know, what about having the Lyft driver drive through the MAGA cruise?
Yeah, take a Lyft driver.
I thought you meant like going across it.
MAGA. No, just driving across. I mean, it's technically Royal Oak, right?
Yeah. Oh, what misery. I think we should call Ricky Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not? We might as well get in the process of trying and finding out when he won't answer. Or if he will stay on the phone with us.
I really expected Ricky, I don't know, maybe it's the image I have of Ricky Henderson in my head. I just expect him to pick up the phone anytime it rings.
Like, yeah, and then just start chatting with us.
Yeah, I just don't see him screening.
I don't see him
calls.
Go, fuck you, man, call my people. Call my peoples.
Call my persons.
Fuck yous. Fucks you.
Why don't you sucks my dick? So ridiculous.
I love Ricky Henderson. This is a guy who's got the all-time baseball record for most runs, most stolen bases.
Well, as Bill James famously said about him, if you split Ricky Henderson into twos, he would make the Hall of Fame twice. I don't really understand what that meant, but
I'll have to look at his stats after the show. Dr. Roche is offering boobs, and more boobs, and big boobs, and medium boobs, and kind of bigger boobs, or just any kind of boobs, If you want to get breast implants, what a great time to do it, because you got all this recovery time right now. And they're doing all the things to keep people safe and testing people before they come in for anything and so on and so forth, just like everyone else except their doctors. So they're probably a little better at it. Anyway, if you're interested in any of the things they're doing, it could even be HGH, human growth hormone, which some people are taking and having great success with, the fountain of youth. Elevated HGH, that's what makes you feel young again. And HGH is one of those things your body stops making, makes less and less of it every day of your life. Well, it's in the injection of youth into your body, and I got to tell you, it feels kind of good. And they do tattoo removal, and they do fat melting, and they do lipo, and they do Diva, and they do all those things. And they are busy because people are seeing this as an opportunity to freshen up and have a little time at home to maybe make the recovery easier instead of having to go right back to work. So call 248-338-1110 or go to D-R-R-O-C-H-E, drroche.com. It's called baseball. Come on, Ricky.
You got 9 guys on the field. You got a pitcher and a catcher and a third and a first and a second baseman and a shortstop too. You got a right fielder and
great
a left
song.
Fielder. You got a center fielder.
Is that girl kind of hot in the news?
What's that?
Is that girl kind of hot in the news?
Which one? They're both kind of cute. The interviewer, or the
pretty hot story for grocery prices.
Oh, heads up.
Hello.
Oh, Ricky.
What's going on? How you doing?
Oh, man.
Hope everything is well. Sorry, I cannot receive your call at this time. So please leave a brief message after the tone, and I'll return your call shortly. Thank you, and you have a wonderful day. Bye-bye for now.
Oh, so cool.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Yeah, hit 5. Ricky, 24. Hey, it's the Drew and Mike show in Detroit, and we're talking baseball. And we were hoping maybe you might have a few minutes for us sometime very soon.
We were reminiscing about our favorite players. And
you're the greatest leadoff hitter.
We love you, man.
That's right. What did Bill James say?
If you split him in two, he'd make the Hall of Fame twice.
There you go.
I don't want to split you in two, Rick.
But we get another Hall of Fame speech.
It's true.
Two World Series, one MVP.
Call us back, Ricky. We know our stuff. Thanks, buddy.
The Baseball Writer Association of America, Commission of Baseball. I also want to thank the memo to all my beautiful and intelligent daughter. So she chose it, baseball. Chose it. I guess mom do knows best. Several of my high school friends, 8-run score after my first 10 game, 25-run score, and 33 steal. My first year in the minors league helped me develop my skill.
Minors
I received
league.
A call in front of my family and friend, John Morris of the San Diego Padre and the other general manager and owners of Major League Baseball team.
You know, he speaks awesome. With great authority, and he sounds very regal, but somebody fucked with him in English class and taught him tenses in the reverse, because he always has it wrong. It's not like 50-50.
Like
they taught
joke.
Him reverse.
Man, I hope he calls back.
I'd be geeked. It was just fun hearing his answering machine.
And 33 steal.
Faked me out.
Faked me out earlier. I forgot about that.
I love Ricky Henderson. Didn't he also speak in the third person all the time?
Yeah.
He was not afraid of the third person. In fact, we'll try him again, I guess. Hey, did you see that Megan Fox posted a pretty smoking picture of herself with Machine Gun Kelly?
Really? Not the one where she had her tongue sticking out, right?
No. This was the My Heart Is Yours post.
Ooh.
And you know what? I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone this morning, and I was looking. I just was kind of scrolling through my phone as I was talking, and I said, oh, my God. And so we started talking about it, and I said, but it seems a little fast. Didn't she just leave the house like a month ago?
Yeah. Achingly beautiful boy, .. My heart is yours. Knife emoji, heart emoji, knife emoji.
Okay, so...
Slut.
As they start discussing this, and that word may have been used in the conversation, I'm not saying who said it, but anyway. And he's asking me, well, what's the deal? Because he knew who she was, and he knew Brian Austin Green and all that. And so he goes, well, you know, now you explain it to me. He goes, this guy, Machine Gun Kelly's 30. She's 34. She's got 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 4-year-old. Little baggage. Little young baggage. And so his point was that she's got to close the deal fast. You know, while this guy's like just enamored with her, mm-hmm. you know, over the moon, mm-hmm. she's got to close the deal. Because if it drags on, he's going to start looking ahead going, oh, man, I'm going to be 44 when the youngest is out of high school, and that's not the end. I mean, the fucking kid could be around for another 10 years living in the basement or whatever. And plus, he's going to want her to push out a couple more kids for him, right?
Yeah,
I mean, kids. So
and if they get married, she's got to change her name to Megan Kelly.
Oh. Does she have to change it to M-E-G-Y-N?
That's so stupid. I love it. She should be forced to. That's great, Brandon.
So he pointed out that when she pushes out the next two, you know, let's say they get married in 2 months because, you know, he's just so over the moon. She closes the deal like she needs to.
Yeah.
Before he can really consider all the implications. And then he's like, his dick's
running the ship.
Yeah,
right
his
now.
Dick is running the show. And she knows that. She's collaborating with his penis to basically.
Don't tell his brain. My pussy and myself. This is what we're going to do with you.
So anyway, as he pointed out, he said, hey, she pushes out two more. You know, she's going to be, or he's going to be like 33, 35, you know, when those other two kids come. And then he's 53 when the youngest is 18. And then that kid is probably going to hang around the basement for years. So he's like, it's the next 30 years of his life are gone if he marries her.
Jesus.
The next 30 years, gone.
Yeah, but
it'll take him 30 years to get it. He'll be 60 when he gets his life back.
Yeah, maybe his dick will be out of commission by then. His dick will retire and leave him with all that baggage.
Now, did you know?
The other point was that he would have Brian Austin Green in his life forever.
Well, to Brian Austin Green's point, we have given him a lot of shit because, you know, it's Brian Austin Green. He hates doing Cameo. I think, Brandon, you were going to say exactly what I was going to say. Did you see his response to... It's pretty fucking good.
He responded to it?
She put that Instagram post up, beautifully aching boy, knife emoji, heart emoji. So he put an Instagram post up and he wrote, achingly beautiful boys, .. my heart is yours, with the three boys that they have together and his boy from the previous relationship because he has four sons.
Oh boy.
Which is fucking great, just throwing it in her face like that. And then she had this other picture.
It's pretty lame of her to do that. Why does she have to?
Look at that. Because that's the one she put up before the other day where she wrote,
you're so hot.
Waited for eternity to find you again. Knife emoji.
You again?
I don't know. Star emoji.
Heart
emoji.
You know when he's three?
I don't know, but they both have their tongues out. It's just, what children?
Well,
water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji, water squirt emoji.
This is the problem with social media is that she obviously has no sense. She has no concept of how that this might be a little humiliating to Brian Austin Green.
And your kids.
I mean, and your kids. I mean, that's really shitty, in my opinion. It's kind of like...
of course, comments are turned off for that Machine Gun Kelly picture.
Okay. Does he have a new does he have cameos yet, or is he still disabled over this thing?
I'll check. I doubt it. He hasn't done any cameos in such a long time.
I mean, they were separated. Wasn't it like a month ago?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quick. Just not a long time for somebody you've been with for that long and you've got three little kids. It's just.
Yeah,
unavailable still.
And I feel bad for him, too, because, you know, how's he doing? Courtney Stodden.
Well, then he used Courtney Stodden.
Yeah, she's actually calling him out and ragging him.
Oh, God.
And then the second chick just was like, look, I'm not into this. I mean, he's been dumped once already.
Yeah. And like this commenter said.
That chick was too hot for him, though.
And like this commenter says, I'm with Team Brian. That's what they commented on.
I'm on Team Brian.
Oh, Megan, do you really believe he's your soulmate? Time will tell. In the meantime, Team Brian.
I think Brian Austin Green needs to have a conversation with Machine Gun Kelly. Because, okay, I realize that Machine Gun Kelly's penis is in charge, but she sounds like not a very nice person.
No, she sounds like the number one person in her life is
Megan Fox. Yeah. And the last time she got into it with a director, wasn't it? And he kind of implied that I don't think we'll be working together again.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Was that Transformers?
Brandon, you remember that?
Was that Bay?
Michael Bay?
I think it was.
I mean, I haven't seen her in too much since. She did pop up on one of Judd Apatow's films here and there, but I haven't seen her in a while.
It was sort of like he went out of his way to say that, you know, this really didn't go too well. And then she made some bitchy comments, too. I
will say this in her photos.
Maybe I'm too close to Brian Austin Green.
She does a great job in her photos of hiding her thumbs.
She's the thumb bitch.
She's the one whose thumbs look like big toes. Do you know what I'm talking about, Brandon?
I think that was Katy Perry.
I do. In fact, since we talked about it last, I met a girl who has those same club thumbs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you go, hey, and put up both of your thumbs to see if she would do it? Oh, here's one. You can kind of see her thumb.
Does Katy Perry have a flaw like this?
Isn't there with Katy Perry's toes or something?
Ugh. See, look, she hides her thumbs in every
picture. She looks bitchy as hell, doesn't she? Every picture she looks like a bitch.
Resting cunt face. I got to tell you, you cannot find a picture of her thumbs on her Instagram. They are hidden in every picture.
Another important entertainment story today would be Kindergarten Cop.
This story is bullshit.
Pulled.
Sure is.
From a film festival. Well, is it just bullshit? It's not true?
No, it's true. I just think it's bullshit, comment.
It's been pulled from a film festival because...
Stop it!
I'm like, okay, first of all, when they say protesters say, I'm like, wait, there's protesters at Kindergarten
Who are you?
Cop? What?
I doubt it.
They said that it...
The fuck are you?
Romanticizes over-policing children.
Okay.
It's a movie, and it's funny!
Yeah.
It's not real. It celebrates the school-to-prison pipeline.
Stop whining.
That's not what I got out of it when I saw it.
I just thought Arnold was hilarious, and I love the drops. No, I just like the movie in general. The movie, actually, I was shocked. When I watched the movie, honestly, I was watching it for the drops.
Yeah,
which
is ridiculous.
But Arnold's, I ended up
thinking, there is no bathroom.
Arnold's pretty terrible.
The movie was stupidly funny.
Yeah.
It was cute.
It's true. Kindergarten Cop's only a movie. So are Birth of a Nation.
First, I would like to just get to know you.
And Gone with the Wind.
Well, it's been replaced by a documentary about Representative John Lewis.
Get it?
Which I'm sure will be pretty riveting.
But that wasn't filmed where in Oregon, where this movie was, and the whole point that it
was. Same.
I was very excited though today that somebody heard my suggestion and is relaunching Who's the Boss.
What is the chance of that?
They're relaunching it, but the only two people on board, of course, are Alyssa Milano and Tony Danza.
That is a show. What?
Where's Jonathan?
Honestly, he's supposed to be in there, isn't he?
They haven't asked. Well, it's still up in the air, but we know Alyssa Milano and Danza. And get this, Alyssa plays a single mom who lives in the same house.
Fuller House.
What is the demand for this? I mean, are there really a lot of people going around going, God, if they would just relaunch Who's the Boss?
Danza fans are just begging for it to be out. He hasn't done much lately.
He hasn't done something since Angels in the Outfield.
Well, isn't he teaching drama or something at a New York City college?
Danza's a good dude, isn't he?
Yeah, he's totally cool. I like Tony Danza.
I don't know if I want to see him in Who's the Boss.
I wonder how much those people, what they think of Alyssa Milano nowadays.
I get, according to the press release, they're all very, very tight and friendly.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Not tight enough to have her get them on her podcast. Why are we
that just... would get her close to Joe Rogan if she could just get the Who's the Boss people on.
Why is every show being rebooted and redone?
Because it's easy. It's a way that you know that you can automatically start with somewhat of a base.
You watched the show, correct?
Yeah, I did.
Would you ever watch it again?
No, and I watched Full House, and I never watched Fuller House.
Brandon, would you watch a reboot of Who's the Boss?
God, I would watch a reboot of Elf, but I don't know if I would watch a reboot of pretty much anything. I didn't want to watch Roseanne when that came back, and I was a fan of the original Roseanne show. And like they always tease something like, hey, by the way, the Saved by the Bell people, they're going to get together and do blah, blah, blah. I don't care. That was fun when I was a little kid, but
stupid.
I don't care now. Plus, it's Screech, isn't it? It ain't Saved by the Bell.
Why would anyone watch Saved? That's so weird to me. Like, really? Oh, Saved by the Bell reunion. Oh, my God.
I was all on board for the PO5 reboot until I read what the new plot was.
What's the new plot? Wait, there's a PO5 reboot?
Yeah, and you didn't know about it, right?
I think I might watch it.
Okay. Do you want to know the plot?
Well, tell me the plot.
The five Acosta children navigate daily struggles after their parents are deported back to Mexico. Until they find a way to get their parents back in the country. Wait. These five kids have to make a way.
The youngest kid is like 30.
No. It's a reboot of the series.
Okay, so it's not all, the same. It's all new. I have no interest. If
Matthew Fox isn't going to be on there and J-Love Hewitt.
Yeah, J-Love. Got to have J-Love. What about the little one hot now?
Lacey Sherbet?
Yeah, she's hot.
Is that her name?
Yeah.
And what about Bailey?
Yeah. What about Bailey?
Where is Bailey? I haven't seen Bailey. They're probably all on Cameo by now.
You want to check, Brandon? See if any of the PO5 people are on Cameo? I think that'd be an important development.
What has Scott Wolf done since Party of Five?
No. He was in that great movie, the drug movie.
Go, yeah.
Go, yeah. Great movie.
Phenomenal. Oh, here you go.
I saw that again a while ago. It was really good.
His last film was 2015, Meet My Valentine. And that movie is so obscure, it doesn't even have its own Wikipedia page. His last movie that has a Wikipedia entry is Such Good People.
Isn't it just... It blows my mind how in a relatively short time, someone like Scott Wolf can literally just disappear from the entertainment landscape. And then you find out, oh, he's been three straight to videos. But it's like, your career's over. I'm sorry.
You know what?
It's almost like the list of people are, someone needs to tell these people they're not famous anymore. Or the, why people won't cast Scott Wolf anymore.
This is really funny. The last thing he did, which must have killed his career, was a show I watched that was also a reboot of another show when they brought V back. Do you remember V about the aliens? Does anybody remember V?
Oh, yes.
Marina.
That was kind of interesting, kind of.
I loved the show in the 80s. And I remember Clark and I used to watch the reboot.
Yeah, I was kind of into that.
It was a good show.
Strangely.
She is on
Craig. Craigers. All right. Melissa Lewis reached out. I am Jennifer Love Hewitt, by the way.
She looks different, though, doesn't she?
I mean, she looks really pretty.
Oh, can I see a whole one?
$150.
$150, that's all?
Hi, Stan. It's Jennifer Love Hewitt. Okay.
I want
your
one.
Team told me about you, and I know that we could have had great chemistry back in the day. I love a man who gives off confidence with his fashion sense. Sure. I mean, not many men can pull off a Canada goose with pleated pants. I suppose life is about timing. Well, lots of love.
Pretty nice kitchen she's got there.
From me and Nordstrom Finance.
Oh, that was weirdly cute.
She's adorable.
Can I see another one? I'm not embarrassed for her yet. I'm sure she'll do the one where I'll feel embarrassed for her, but can I see one more?
The one she does for us?
Yeah, one more.
Oh, Lacey Sorbet isn't on there?
I look for her.
Jesse.
Hi.
It's Jennifer Love Hewitt. Okay, so Chrissy reached out and said that you are going to be turning 43 on August 10th.
She's still pretty adorable.
Happy birthday.
She's gorgeous, too.
I know that you've been a huge fan for a long time and that she has jokingly been jealous all of these years. Sorry about it, Chrissy.
I hear you have a ghost story with my face on it,
which is very sweet. And that you guys have been married for 10 years in October and have
Can
a four-year-old daughter,
perky,
Jane.
Really?
Hi, Jane.
Yeah.
Anyway, from Chrissy and from me and from Jane, happy, happy birthday and lots of love.
My God, do you know how old she is?
Is she in her 40s?
Yeah, she's 41.
She looks really good.
She looks phenomenal.
She also, did you know she's wearing no makeup there?
Yeah, in a too big sweatshirt.
I don't know why. I think a lot of chicks look great without makeup. Maybe I'm crazy.
I do want to say that today's new cameos include Hannah Ann from The Bachelor.
Hannah.
Oh, yep, $100 for her.
Get out of here.
How about Steve Smith Sr.? Hey, he's enjoying retirement, and he's just trying not to be bored. So he's laughing at himself and other people by doing cameos for just $115.
Brandon,
no derogatory
language. Is Cameo sending you these descriptions?
He's just that good of a salesman.
And how about Don Johnson?
What?
His crank?
Huge crank. Miami Vice, Nash Bridges, Knives Out, Watchmen, Django Unchained, Eastbound and Down, Ten Cup, you name it, he's been in it. And huge bulge. Huge. Don Johnson's $500 on Cameo today.
$500
for charity.
Is it for charity?
Yeah, that's what it says.
I mean, is that been
better? Hi, Roseman.
We need a forensic accountant.
Colleen mentioned to me that you're about to have a birthday.
That was it.
You know what I say?
What do you say?
I say you put your dancing shoes on and go out there and kick up them heels. Because I also hear that you got
comes across pretty well.
Got a little feisty.
Going back to Jennifer Love Hewitt, Do you remember the one big strike about her back in the day?
Oh yeah, her neck, yeah, eating the leaves off the trees.
Oh, I forgot about that one. I was talking about her favorite thing to do was watch Golden Girl reruns with her mom.
Yeah, that was a big strike too.
But I just found another strike. Have you seen the list of people that she's dated?
Well, I remember hearing the guy who had a couple hit songs. I know we talked about him on the podcast.
Wait, we talked to Jamie Kennedy, and didn't he nail her?
Jamie Kennedy nailed
her. Yeah, he did.
John Mayer nailed her. Rich Cronin, who was in that LMF. Was that?
That's him. That's him? The guy. Yeah. He was on Stern, and he was telling a long story about her. And it was like he started seeing her, and he couldn't believe that like she knew who he was. Apparently she liked his whatever the hit was that was out at that time. That was when he had a hit record, which was big. But as the months went by, and they were exclusive. They were like in a cross country relationship.
A long distance, yeah.
Yeah, but they were, you know, supposedly in love, and they were actually having lots of sex. Yeah. And yeah. I think she ghosted him. I think that's the way the story went. I'll have to listen to any of the Stern people out there. Maybe you can refresh me on it. But she definitely, it was like an ugly kind of blow off thing, and. Ooh. He decided that he thought she was really real and really cool and really kind of fun. And, you know, I think she took him by surprise, and also that she was interested in him at all, I think, surprised him. But once he got into it, everything was cool. And then all of a sudden, I think somebody a little bigger got interested in her, and she just sort of ghosted him.
Yeah, he met her backstage at the Blockbuster Entertainment Awards.
yeah, and you know who was right after Rich Cronin?
Oh. Was it Carson?
Enrique Iglesias.
Ooh.
Oh.
She also dated Carson Daly.
Oh, that to me, that's a big, I don't know. Well, past that.
It gets worse.
I think
it's
over.
Much worse.
She dated, whoa, Joey Lawrence.
What?
Yeah.
When?
It's worse.
I don't know. Oh, it gets whoa. Worse.
It's already over for me and J-Love.
By the way, Joey Lawrence is getting a divorce from his wife after 15 years.
Whoa.
When Reach for Comedy went, whoa.
I'm so sorry.
Do you
that.
Want me to start from the beginning here? Because
yeah, start.
She's got a massive team.
I really got it. I have to process all these guys. I don't know.
How about Alec Baldwin?
What?
How about Fred Savage?
Fred Savage is cool, though.
Fred Savage is okay.
Joey Lawrence, whoa. Followed by Will Friedle.
Who's that? Who's that dude?
He looks familiar. He's done something.
Wait, Wilfred, let's see. Okay. Yeah, I know who that guy is, but I don't know. But I don't know who he is.
Carson Daly, then Jason Aaron Baca.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
And then Andrew Keegan.
Who is he?
He's an actor. You've seen the guy before.
Yeah, he looks familiar.
He was in
I've seen him
Confused,
something.
I think.
Oh, I see a big one coming up.
Diego Serrano. How about Wilmer Valderrama?
That's the big one. He nails them all.
Jeez, then Rich Cronin, then Enrique Iglesias, then Patrick Wilson, very famous actor now, Patrick.
What's he in?
He was in Watchmen. He was in a whole bunch of rom-coms. He's a very, okay. very famous dude. John Mayer. Because, of course, John Mayer's had them all.
Yeah, he
John
does.
Cusack.
Cusack tapped her?
He sure did in 2003. Wow. Next up is Kit Pardue.
Next up. Were these guys in line?
Yeah.
Was there an actual line?
Yep. And then Antonio Sabato Jr.
That's Sabato too? Mayer and Sabato?
Yep. Followed by Christian Triple X, who I have no idea who that is. But
no, he's in Triple X films. So she probably got some really kinky stuff with him. No, I'm kidding. I don't know who he is either.
Then Scott Austin, then Ross McCall, and then Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
Alex
nice going, Jamie.
Beh.
I don't know who that is.
Jared Einstein. I don't know who that is.
This team
Colin
photos.
Egglesfield.
This team photo getting a little crowded.
Brian Halsey. And then,
I don't mean to be judgmental, but this
married,
team photo's getting a little crowded. I mean, I don't want to just get lost in the back row.
Huh.
Yeah,
is
I don't
she
know. She
now?
It's definitely
she's married, yeah.
The team photo is definitely going downhill. At one point she had a pretty all-star team photo.
Oh God, her husband's team photo is sad.
It's just him. Or yeah.
Wait.
Just her.
What?
It's just her.
Who? Which one is her husband?
Brian Halsey.
He was a virgin when he met her?
No, but who's dated who only throws people on your team photo if they're somebody of relevance? if they've been a model, if they've been an actor or a musician, if you've heard of them. If you're an everyday Joe Schmo, you don't get put on there. For example, after I nailed Jennifer Love Hewitt, it was in between Enrique Iglesias and Patrick Wilson. However, they didn't put me on there because I'm not prominent.
I can't be in a team photo that Anthony Sabato Jr.'s in and John Mayer's in. And who's the other one you mentioned?
Christian Triple X?
No, not Christian Triple X.
Porn star?
Enrique Iglesias. I'm just going to get lost in that team photo. Damn it.
She really dated Christian Triple X, a porn star?
Wait, is he serious? No, it's not a porn star.
No, it's
what?
A porn star.
Are you bullshitting me?
Oh, look at the list. She's on there.
His who's dated who doesn't count, because every time he goes to work, somebody gets added to
those
it.
Are porn stars?
Yeah, well, that he's dated.
Asa Akira, yeah, Lexi Bell, what Nicole Sheridan.
Nicole Sheridan? She's not a porn star.
Yeah, how did...
Katie Gold, Phoenix Marie, nice. How about Lisa Hips?
Wait, who's Lisa Lips?
Hips.
It says Lips.
Oh, it is Lisa Lips, damn it. I don't know who she is.
Is Trinity St. Clair related to Jasmine St. Clair, who did 500 guys in one night?
I think she's related to Larry St. Clair.
Yeah, some people are saying they look so much alike that she actually subbed in for like 75 dudes to give her a break.
As if the guys complained about it.
I gotta go to the bathroom for a minute.
And then Kimber comes out.
She would take a dump.
Takes about 75 dongs and then goes to the bathroom herself.
I gotta go take a shit. Hold on, guys.
And she went to the bathroom. She's like, oh my God, fucking and blowing 75 guys. That's a lot. She goes, you have to blow them. Oh my God, I have to blow them.
Nobody told me that.
So then Jasmine had to go out and blow like the first 10 guys, just to act like nothing was up.
Like it's totally normal.
That was stupid. Jasmine St. Clair, was it the 600? Because it was the Houston 500, wasn't it?
Houston 500. I think
and then
Jasmine.
She beat her by 100 guys. And then, wait, was she the one we interviewed? And we said, wow, 600 guys. She goes, no, 601. I did my boyfriend when I got home.
Yes. Oh. How was your day at work today? And I don't want to talk about it. Let's just fuck. Okay.
She's actually on Who's Dated Who.
Wait, are there 600 guys on there?
She didn't technically date those guys.
That line, by the way, was the funniest line I've ever seen.
If the guys were on her Who Dated Who, some of them would be wearing masks. Remember they were wearing masks in line? And they'd have like their shoes. It basically is a person without pants or underwear in line.
Yeah, just nude. Just like talking to a couple guys nude in a little circle. One guy might be fluffing himself.
Here it is. Among her porn films, St. Clair is known for her appearance in World's Biggest Gangbang 2, a 1996 sequel to World's Biggest Gangbang, in which she is advertised as performing a record-breaking 300 sex acts with 300 men in a 24-hour period.
I gotta believe she had to put some weight on before she did that 600. I mean, she just looks like you'd break her.
Ugh.
I mean, somebody would get crazy in that thing.
Oh, listen to this. This revisionist history here. St. Clair later described the video as, quote, among the biggest cons ever pulled in the porn business, with merely about 30 men strategically placed and filmed. I don't believe that.
Oh, that's bullshit.
I don't believe that at all.
You are not revising history, St. Clair.
You did 300 guys. 301.
600.
By the way, nice of Houston to go, 300? Pff, I'm going to do 500. Screw breaking the record. I'm shattering it.
That's pretty cool.
Ugh.
So we got a boner line today, Brandon?
Unfortunately, I do not have one. No.
Oh, we don't?
Mm. No. Not
so,
until...
So, wait, wouldn't that only be two for the week?
Well...
Not sponsored, so he's...
Oh, so in other words, you're not going to do them if they're not sponsored?
That is so not true. I already did one this week, and I already have some audio dumped down. I have about 50 more calls that I have to dump
but
down.
It seems that the lack of a sponsor allows you to kind of slack off on it.
In a way, it's kind of a nice break because...
Well, I think you would maybe pick up on reading email then. Like for me.
Did you send him any email today?
I did not. I thought about it.
Hey, we haven't talked
about your emails.
We haven't talked about Jake Paul.
No.
His house raided. They took a bunch of guns away. I don't know.
Oh, is that all they did? That's all they were doing?
They seized several firearms, including a long gun that was propped up against a hot tub in the backyard. But I don't understand what the raid is about. Is it solely about guns?
I don't know. He probably got swatted.
No, I don't think it was.
He said it was part of an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, I just thought, I mean, this is too bad that I thought this, but I did. I figured it was going to be underage girls.
Yeah.
Because he's been having these parties during COVID. What an asshole, but anyway, he is. And a lot of people were suggesting that, like, teen girls were just showing up at the door, and that teen girls show up at the door all the time because they know where he lives.
Yeah.
And it's commonly known. And also that this is sort of not uncommon with young YouTube stars, that they're sort of the rock stars of, you know, 14 and 15 year olds instead of, you know, wanting to see Davy Jones and Tiger Beat. They get really taken in by these YouTube stars. And it's different from a rock star because you see their content all the time and you follow them. And it's almost like a cult of young girls. And these YouTube stars are too young to be mature enough to really know that, you know, you really shouldn't be collecting all these nude photographs of 16-year-old girls.
Yeah,
really kind of fucked. It's really very fucked up.
I thought when you were talking about it before the show, that kind of made sense. But I guess this is really in conjunction with his riot in Arizona when he was at the mall.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know what else happened there brings the FBI out.
That's a pretty big deal. That's an FBI raid? I would hope it was more than his stupid thing in Arizona.
But it is in connection with that. That's what I don't understand. I don't know.
That is weird.
That's a shame. He seems like such an upstanding young man.
Well, that guy. I would think he'd be smarter than that.
Why? Well, if you film everything and you have to keep topping yourself, eventually you're going to fucking do something dumb.
Yeah.
He's the Bam Margera of this generation. I don't know.
Is it worth calling an IRS number, like a Social Security scam number, like from yesterday, just in case?
Probably not, but we'll do it.
Okay.
What is it?
Here's the number.
I think I got one for you, too, from the Boner line.
All right. We're not getting quite as many. We usually get a flood of these, and I think because tax day got changed, it's probably no good. Okay.
No good. There's some other, like, tabloidy stuff. Oh, Ellen's ratings are at an all-time low.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm not sure that would have anything to do with what's going on, though.
I wouldn't think so.
Because that hasn't been going on that long.
She's probably because she's just at home.
Oh, yeah, I guess. And, you know, there's this big story this morning on GMA about A-list stars stand with Ellen. And, you know, just like we talked about yesterday, I just found that so fucking annoying. And it's another one of these things where, you know, nobody can just mind their own business and allow the people that work there to try and work out their problems. A bunch of people just stick their nose in it, like, and I like Kevin Hart, and Katy Perry's okay, but, you know, oh, they treat me as a nice thing. Kevin says, she was so nice to my family and my team.
Yeah.
You're a fucking huge guest.
How does she treat her employees?
Well, they don't know. And honestly, I don't think Leah Thompson, and who's the other guy that said, yeah, they treat people like shit when I was there.
Brad Garrett.
Do they really know what's going on in there? I mean, I think all of them should shut up and let this thing get dealt with. But my fear is that, you know, Ellen has so many A-list friends. If they all speak out, they go, well, look, see, all these A-list friends say it's okay, so suck it up, assholes.
Goes to the moon.
I don't know. I just feel like no one minds their own business anymore.
No.
Mm-mm. And what in the world does Katy Perry know about
nothing.
Her employees? Nothing. I've only had positive takeaways from the show.
Yeah.
And Diane Keaton, who's, you know.
Diane Keaton?
She's like 900. It's like, I always enjoy my visits. The audience exudes happiness and gratitude. Well, the audience doesn't work there.
What is she talking about?
She was suggesting that Ellen stands for fairness and kindness, and I know this can't be going on. It reminds me, it's the reverse of what these athletes have been doing lately, where they tweet out that, hey, my coach said the N-word, and my coach is part of this racist network. Look at this T-shirt he's wearing, which is where you make your business everyone's business.
Yeah.
And these WNBA players who,
yeah, wow,
one of their owners is a senator in Georgia.
Yeah.
And she was running for re-election, and they were wearing warm-ups, touting her opponent.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy.
What the fuck are you doing?
I don't like her.
I mean, first of all, you're in a charity league. You generate no revenue. Everything is paid for. It's not anything you earn. And you're lucky you have an owner. In fact, when we tried to find out the value of these teams, there's really no value placed on them because they don't generate enough revenue.
She's also a very minor owner of the team. If it was a major owner of the team, I would doubt they would have. I doubt they would do that.
I'm not so sure they wouldn't.
Would they say something about Adam Silver? You know,
probably.
You think so?
I swear, these days I feel like almost anyone will say anything about anyone on Twitter or social media.
That's why there's repercussions to everything you say.
Well, it depends on who you are. Some people don't have repercussions. Look at Kanye West. He's got billion-dollar sponsors.
Yeah.
And he can say anything. And people diagnose him. People that are not even doctors diagnose him.
Oh, he's in the middle of an episode. I'll diagnose him. He's fucking nuts, man. You don't think he's been acting fucking nuts?
Well, I think he always acts kind of nuts. Because he says something that is really pretty stupid to say and pretty historically wrong does not mean he's in the middle of an episode.
Well, I'm not going to excuse him anyway. I think he's acting a little crazy.
Remember when Roseanne did it and Ambien said, one of the side effects is not racism. Well, I don't hear anybody saying that about Kanye West.
Well, he didn't blame Ambien like Roseanne did.
No, but people have already decided. They've already said, he's having an episode, therefore it doesn't count.
Yeah. Well, if anything, then be mad at his family getting him off the trail.
If he said it was Ambien, would they say, Ambien is not known for making people historically repeat false historical statements? No, I don't think they would.
Maybe. And Ambien does make some people crazy.
I don't know about, a racist.
How about this dude, Marty Jannetty? You ever heard of this guy? I have. Back in the 1980s, he was one half of the Rockers. That's right, one of the greatest WWE tag teams of all time. The other half, of course, was Shawn Michaels. He went on to have a Hall of Fame WWE career. He's now retired. Well, Marty Jannetty was the other half of that tandem, and he went a little nutso today on Facebook and decided to post this. I never told no one this. Even my brother Gino, because Gino would have killed him. And I didn't want my brother gone. Hell, he'd only recently come back from Vietnam. I was 13. I was working at Victory Lane's bowling alley, buying some weed from a fag that worked there. And he put his hands on me. He dragged me around to the back of the building. You already know what he was going to try to do. That was the very first time I made a man disappear. They never found him. They should have looked in the Chattahoochee River, but they didn't. So he goes on this weird rant about killing a person,
yeah,
to the point where the Columbus police has decided to open up an investigation.
What?
Yeah, this is all unfolding over the last few hours because...
Is this made up, though?
Maybe. The guy is kind of cuckoo, but I don't know. He said he's a murderer. Marty Jannetty.
Do you think there's a statute of limitations on murder?
No, you're not usually on murder.
Well, no,
I've always felt bad for him ever since Shawn Michaels gave him the sweet chin music through a plane of glass. I think that was at the barber shop. Yeah. Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Did you and Bandwagon Al watch it?
Unfortunately, by the time that Al and I were watching WWE and WCW, Marty Jannetty was pretty much long gone. He had just gotten kicked out. He was never able to live up to Shawn Michaels' fame.
Is there any update on Bandwagon Al? Have you looked at his social media lately?
Bandwagon Al.
Yeah. Although someone pointed out that, of course, he's going to have shirts from different teams if he was homeless. In other words, they got him and got him for free.
I don't think that he is homeless anymore. I can't confirm that. I don't know. I guess I would have to...
I'd be diving.
If you want, I'll find what phone number I can find, and I guess we can try him.
Just reach out to him anyway. You know, it's a nice story.
You know, it didn't end
great.
Started
from the bottom.
Right?
What?
I've told you the ending 100 times.
Oh, the fire, yeah.
No, that's not the ending. The fire happened in the middle of him living with us.
Oh, he stole everything.
Yeah, he stole a bunch of shit on his way out. He stole a keyboard. He stole some cash.
Ask him for it back.
Okay. I guess I could do that. That was, what, 97?
He's not going to give it back.
98, maybe?
I mean, if you don't want to reconnect with your childhood friend. What happened to your other childhood best friend? Did you ever reconnect with him?
David Hartman, yeah. I didn't reconnect with him, but I did find him.
Yeah, I knew and you found him.
I was supposed to reach out, and COVID happened, you know?
That's a good excuse. That's the only excuse we'll accept.
I guess we can call these people.
There's another celebrity story I was really confused on, and it's Zoe Saldana, the actress. She's apologizing for playing Nina Simone because she wore makeup to make her skin darker, but isn't Zoe Saldana, isn't she black? So is she not the right shade of black? Is that what she's saying?
Zoe is the same girl she was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, she's, I don't know, is she?
I mean, she's a person of color. And people were mad that she got to play Nina Simone because she wore a prosthetic nose and had to wear dark makeup, which, you know, most people consider that to be acting. But I was just surprised to see that she apologized for wearing, you know, she actually apologized to playing a black woman, which I thought was really weird.
She's upset. She feels like she needs to apologize because she, despite being black, does extra blackface by darkening her skin tones because Nina Simone was darker than she is.
She says, I should have done everything in my power with the leverage that I had 10 years ago to cast a black woman to play an exceptionally perfect black woman. So I guess she wasn't perfect enough to play Nina Simone. I thought back then that I had the permission because I was a black woman. I am, but it was Nina Simone, and she had a life, and she had a journey that should be honored to the most specific detail. I just think that's a really weird thing to apologize for. But then again, I never saw the movie, and frankly, I don't care. You know, I don't care who plays her.
I mean, that's pretty weird if black people are getting in trouble for blackface.
Well, it doesn't sound like she was in trouble. She just decided to proactively apologize for it. I don't know. I don't get it.
Has she also apologized for using the N-word in the past?
She did? Well, she's black. Right?
Exactly. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't know. I mean, if you're apologizing, like right now, if someone were to powder my face extra white and I were to play a ginger or something or somebody who just doesn't get a tan, would I be in trouble for whiteface? Absolutely not. And that's why I don't know why Zoe is in trouble. She is
a black woman
and she played a black woman, but she made her complexion a little darker.
Are you saying Sean Patrick Flannery should have apologized for playing the title role in the movie Powder?
Exactly. That was Sean Patrick Flannery in that movie?
Yes.
I saw that in theaters.
Well, didn't he have special powers, but he was albino, right?
Yeah, he was albino. And
what a stupid movie that was, too. Man, there was a lot of dumb
movies.
There
was that deer that got shot, and so he took the pain in that deer, and he put it in me.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 50% for Powder. What a stupid movie.
And he was magnetic too, right?
That's right. Yeah, telekinesis power. Is that what it's called?
He basically was Uncle Fester, except a little skinnier.
Well, he needs to apologize for playing.
Yeah, and so does Christopher Lloyd for playing Uncle Fester in the Addams Family flicks. Did you just bail?
I guess he did.
2 hours and 30 minutes in, he just
should we start playing the outro?
Why not?
Did he get bored? Did he have to go take a dump like Jasmine St. Clair did in the middle of 300 guys? By the way, I've been watching the phone like a hawk, just hoping Ricky would call back. And I'm going to be watching it all night while I'm here, just because I will be so excited if he calls back. Well, in that case, since he's gone, I'm just going to hit the outro. We are at what? Oh, my God, we're at 2:30, right?
Yeah.
2:30. Cool. Well, thanks to Stoney for coming on today.
Yeah, Stoney was great.
What a rough week for him, man.
Sucks that, you know, the reason why he came on and everything like that, but it's nice to hear from the person that was working with him the closest.
I know it's cliche, but it really sucks when it starts fading and for the family, when the death starts fading, and then you realize that, you know, the outpouring's great, and then after a while it stops, right?
Right.
And that's when it hits you. That's when it's tough. So I hope that never stops, man. But once again, the advantage to doing this kind of job, and I think Stoney would agree, is that you always have the listeners. Drew came down, and he's going back up now, so.
He's going to be shocked when he learns. But, I mean, even with Clark, you know, still to this day,
I know. Yeah.
On the fan pages, we get a lot of great tributes. I get a lot of stuff on the boner line saying, play this from Clark, that from Clark.
Doesn't it just hit you every once in a while? Like, oh, God, that's right.
Sure.
He passed away. You just forget about it.
Hi, show's over?
Yeah.
What happened?
I didn't know you wanted to get involved with the discussion, Mr. Helper.
We were at 2:30, and you just took off like Jasmine St. Clair did, so.
Oh, it's coming back. Oh, well.
It's okay.
Let's see, what do I want to mention? Oh, just an Illinois lawmaker calling for the immediate removal of history books and suspension of history lessons because they lead to white privilege in a racist society.
So no more history.
I guess not.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I've heard he's got diarrhea.